University Sportswear is proud to sponsor Quaker Basketball. University Sportswear offers over 100 different Penn and Wharton t-shirts, sweatshirts, and hat designs. University Sportswear is open 7 days a week and is located on the Penn campus at 38th and Spruce Streets. For more information, the number is 222-7366.
Welcome to WXPN's coverage of University of Pennsylvania basketball. I'm Andrew Monfield, and tonight the Quakers take their 3-game win streak to Ann Arbor to take on the Michigan Wolverines. Can the Quakers knock off their second straight Big Ten team? For answers to those questions and more, let's send you to Adam Herzog and Scott Whitman for Courtside at Chrysler Arena.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Chrysler Arena here in Ann Arbor, Michigan, where this evening the University of Pennsylvania Quakers will face off against the pride of the Big Ten, the Michigan Wolverines. Adam Herzog here along with Scott Whitman. Steve Harrison doing our stats for the evening. Michigan coming into this game 4-3, coming off a loss Saturday night at Duke in a very hostile Cameron Arena. Lost by 10 in that game, 69-59. While the Quakers, it's been a 3-game win streak after their opening game loss to Canisius. They came back to take the last three, the last one being FDU, 10 past Saturday night. 101-71 thrashing. Now this is the pride of the Big Ten right here, Scott. The Michigan Wolverines, they lead the series against the Quakers 6-4. Their last one coming in 1990 in a Christmas tournament in Arizona. But since that time, Michigan has gone on, of course, in 89, they win the national championship. In 92-93, they're NCAA finalists. And last season, they're being eliminated by the ultimate champion, Arkansas, in the Elite Eight. This is a big team, this is a big-time program, and the first of many big games for the Quakers this season.
Yeah, absolutely. This is really the marker for the Quakers going into the season. Of course, some games early in the season in the preseason NIT didn't work out for the Quakers the way they had planned. And now this Michigan game really is the marker by which the Quakers can measure exactly how far they've come over the 4 years that Jerome Allen, Matt Maloney for 3 years, and the rest of the seniors have been with the program. They're going to step in here. It's a very difficult place to play, and they're going to try to play a taller team and a team that probably has a little bit better physical ability. And, you know, the Quakers with their experience should match up pretty well.
There are so many subplots to this game. It's almost wonderful. Of course, you have Sean Trice coming back home to Detroit, Michigan. Very emotional for him coming back here, playing in front of the fans. You heard before the game he had something like 60 tickets to give out or something like that. And so for Sean Trice, a great game for him. Of course, for Michigan, the new Fab Five. Are they the new Fab Five? We'll track this for you later on in the evening as we go along. We have some interesting statistics to share with you and how this Michigan team is developing. This 4-3 start, by the way, their worst start since 1981, and they went 1-6. Anyway, let's send it back to Andrew Monfield in the WXPN studios. Just about 14 minutes away here from tip-off. These two teams set to go at it. So you're listening to Penn Basketball on the Penn Sports Radio Network.
For the last two weekends, the Quakers haven't been kind to visitors to the Palestra. Since stumbling to a 1-1 record to open the season, the Quakers have found their offensive fire and are returning to last year's form when they were 24-2. First up for Penn were the Ohio State Buckeyes. The program had been struggling because of recruiting violations and run-ins with the law, but Penn coach Fran Dunphy wasn't about to overlook this perennial Big Ten power. The game started out even as both teams were testing each other, but it would be the Quakers who would grab the advantage. Matt Maloney, who had struggled with his shooting since the Florida game last March, would finally find the mark. The Quakers' number 12 would burn the Buckeyes, going 4-7 from three-point land.
Ira Bowman taking the point duties now, looking for Trice inside. Back to Scott Kegler to Maloney. Maloney spots from three from the right side, and Maloney hits it 24-21. 8 minutes to go in the first half. That's Maloney's first bucket of the game.
This game would also belong to Scott Kegler. The senior forward hails from Columbus, Ohio, so he was ready to play against the Buckeyes. Kegler came out firing, too, as he would continue the Quakers' outside assault.
Ohio State trying to set up on defense. Three-pointer fake by Kegler. Now he'll take it on the left side and hits it. Now Kegler hits the three. He did the same thing last year at Ohio State, and the Quakers jumped to a three-point lead.
The Quakers went on to their third win with a 71-51 triumph over Ohio State. Five players scored in double figures, including Eric Moore, who had 20 points and 5 rebounds. Next up for the Quakers were the Fairleigh Dickinson Knights, who came into the game at 2-2, but weren't supposed to offer the Quakers a challenge. However, no one told the Knights that, as they went out to a 12-point lead early in the first half. Coach Dunphy then called timeout and turned the tables on FDU. Ira Bowman provided a spark off the bench, scoring 6 straight points, including a monster dunk that brought the Palestra faithful to their feet. Kendall went on a 25-6 run to finish the half and wouldn't look back. In the second half, Jerome Allen took over the game. Allen was absolutely unconscious from the field, going 7 of 7 at one point. He finished with a game-high 25 points as well as 8 rebounds and 9 assists. 13 out of the 15 Quakers scored in the 101-71 romp over Fairleigh Dickinson. Now at 4-1, the Quakers have turned the corner on a slow start, but the next test is one of the biggest of the season. The Michigan Wolverines play host to the Quakers tonight in Ann Arbor. Michigan coach Steve Fisher has another stable of blue-chip recruits. Mix that in with returning starters Ray Jackson and Jimmy King, and the Quakers are going to have their hands full. All the action of the Quakers and Wolverines can be heard next on WXPN Sports.
This is sophomore point guard Jamie Lyron, and you're listening to Penn Basketball on 88.5 WXPN, the Penn Sports Network.
Quaker Basketball on WXPN is brought to you in part by Abner's Cheesesteaks, located adjacent to the Penn campus at 3813 Chestnut Street. For more information, the number is 662-0100.
Since stumbling at the beginning of the season, the Quakers have won three straight. Now they face their biggest test so far in Michigan. Penn head coach Brian Dunphy talks about tonight's game and the Quakers' resurgence with WXPN's Steve Koo.
Coach, last couple of games have gone really well for your team. Are you happy with the progress that's been made, I guess, since the beginning of the season?
Well, I'm happy with the fact that we won two games in a row, or actually three games in a row, Steve. I think we're playing better, but this, it's a long season, and we have to be consistent in our play, and we hope to be gaining that consistency. And if we do make that improvement throughout the season, hopefully this will be a good year for us.
Well, against Dickinson, it was pretty close at the half. What did you say to the team in the locker room? Because you guys came out in that second half and kind of blew the doors off of Dickinson.
Well, actually, I think the improvement in our game happened closer to about the 6 or 7 minute mark of the first half, where we were down 12. And I think Jerome took it into his own hands in many ways in that one stretch, and then really pushed us through. We did a couple good things in transition, and so I think the game started to turn around late in the first half, and then I thought we played pretty solidly in the second half. And believe me, I'm not one of those guys that knocks the door down at halftime and gives great speeches that enable us to just overwhelm opponents. We have a pretty good team, and if we pay attention to detail, usually we'll be relatively successful.
Now, you beat Ohio State by 20. You beat Dickinson by 30. What's the mood of the team right now going into Michigan?
Well, in all honesty, Steve, we beat Ohio State by 20 and Fairleigh Dickinson by 30, and I didn't feel any better in those games than I did beating Lehigh by 3 in overtime. So if you told me we were going to crush all of our opponents from the rest of the season, along the way the rest of the season, we're going to crush them all by 1, then I'll take it and let's go on and continue to play. But I think the mood is the fact that we hopefully all see that we're getting better, and we can still make great improvement in our play. We can tighten our act up a little bit, and now we're going to go to Michigan and give them everything that we have.
In the last couple of years, your teams play at some pretty tough places, like at the Pitt and St. John Arena. Are you going to be ready for the crowd at Chrysler Arena?
I can't. I've never been there, so I'm not sure exactly how the Michigan crowd will be. But with an experienced group, we should be ready for just about anything, you know, by the same token, you know, it's something that we have to pay attention to because, you know, we're on the road here, and that takes a little more attention to detail. So I'm looking forward to it, and I think our players are too. This is, again, a national program that you see often on TV, and now we have a chance to see how good we are, and that's the way we'll approach it.
They've already lost a few games Michigan has this season. Do you think it's the same type of caliber team that they've had in recent years?
Well, their experience is down a little bit in that, you know, they lose Juwan Howard from last year to Jalen Rose, but it's two pros, you know. So obviously it's not the same kind of team, but you can see just by watching their films early that the talent level that they have in terms of what they can be is outstanding. And they're searching just a little bit for the right combinations, and I expect Michigan will get better and better as the year goes on here.
From a program standpoint, why a schedule such like a nationally renowned team like Michigan? I know the win is the most important thing. You want a W out of this game. But what are there other goals, I guess, from scheduling such a team?
The primary reason why we attempted to play anybody, actually, in Michigan, and the University of Michigan was the one who came through for us and said, yes, certainly we'll have you come to our facility, was because of Sean Trice. I mean, he's been in this program for 4 years now. It's just kind of a statement that we would make, saying that you've been a very important part of our basketball program. I think it's something special and unique to bring you back home to play in front of your home folks, to just to celebrate a little bit, you know, and to let people know that we are very appreciative of all the time and energy and effort he's put in here. So that was the biggest thing.
All right. Thanks a lot, Coach. Okay. Good luck against Michigan. This is Coach Fran Dunphy report. This is Stephen Cooper for WXPN Sports.
It's only 3 weeks until Penn begins their defense of the Ivy League title. In the meantime, the seven challengers in the Ancient Eight are tuning up out of conference. For a report on what's going on in the Ivy League, here's WXPN's Dan Fogelman.
This week in the Ivy League, in addition to tonight's Penn-Michigan game, there's other action among the Ancient Eight. This week, the co-players of the week in the Ivy League came from two of the teams which are playing well. Brian Koff, a senior forward from Cornell, recorded both career highs in points and rebounds in Cornell's victory over Hobart College. His 32 points were the most scored in a game by a Cornell player since 1990. Jerome Allen, who leads the Penn Quakers into Ann Arbor tonight, was the Ivy League's other player of the week. Allen helped the Quakers crush Fairleigh Dickinson University, going 11 of 17 from the floor and totaling 25 points. Allen is the Ivy League's leading scorer with an average of 20.8 points per game, as well as the league's leader in assists with 6.8 per game. With Penn's win over Fairleigh Dickinson, the Quakers have taken the overall record lead in the league. Penn posts a 3-1 record, followed by Brown at 3-3, who beat Holy Cross and Maine this week. Princeton also holds a 3-3 after wins against Lehigh and Eastern Illinois, but a hard loss to Illinois, 59-37. With the win against Hobart, Cornell has evened its record at 2-2, and three other teams, Dartmouth, Columbia, and Harvard, follow at 2-3. Yale notched its first victory this week, beating Lafayette 82-69. Yale was led by the Ivy League Rookie of the Week, freshman guard Gabe Hunterton. Hunterton had 22 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists from the win, and his 5-6 shooting from the foul line in the final minute and a half of the game helped seal the victory. Tuesday night, Harvard and Dartmouth will face off in the first Ivy League contest of the season. Princeton will travel to UMass and then Syracuse later in the week, hoping to score one or even two major upsets against nationally ranked teams, while Columbia, too, will face a tough matchup at Cedar Hall. Cornell, meanwhile, will travel to Holy Cross on the 17th for their next contest. The Quakers, as we know, head into Ann Arbor tonight, where they will take on the Wolverines of Michigan. After the game, Penn, like most of the other teams, will have a slight pause in their grueling schedule before resuming after the holidays. For this week in the Ivy League, I'm Dan Fogel.
Philadelphia Eagles made on-field news by dropping a fifth straight game to the Steelers on Sunday. Today, Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie made off-the-field news saying that he expects former Dallas coach Jimmy Johnson will remain in broadcasting. Lurie said today he had no inside information to back up his prediction, but he said that with teams still playing and coaches under contract, he feels it is unlikely that Johnson will say he is going back to coaching. Lurie also said today that he stands behind Eagles coach Rich Kotite's decision to bench Randall Cunningham next Sunday. For more on last week's game and this week's, here's WXPN's Steve Karasik.
The Eagles' tailspin continued Sunday afternoon as Philadelphia lost its fifth game in a row, falling 14-3 to interstate rivals the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Birds, who managed only 105 total offensive yards, never got on track, scoring only on a 21-yard Eddie Murray field goal on the first drive of the game. Quarterback Randall Cunningham continued to have his problems, passing for only 59 yards, by far the worst show of his career. For the Steelers, who lead the AFC with an 11-3 record, the running game was the story, as fullback John L. Williams stepped in for an ailing Van Morris with 94 yards on the ground. The terrible loss, however, doesn't knock the Birds out of the playoff picture. In fact, by virtue of a New Orleans win over Atlanta Sunday night, the Eagles can clinch a wildcard spot with wins in their remaining two games, Sunday at the Vet versus the Giants, and December 24th in Cincinnati. However, the loser of next week's Eagles-Giants showdown is eliminated from the playoff picture. Nevertheless, despite how the Eagles finished the season, head coach Rich Kotite's fate may already be decided. That is if Jimmy Johnson decides to leave Hollywood and come to the greener pastures of the city of brotherly love. For WXPN Sports, I'm Steve Harrison.
Well, the Sixers are home tonight to take on the Miami Heat. For more on tonight's game, here's WXPN's Jason Barr.
The 7-11 76ers will take on the last-place Miami Heat tonight at the Core State Spectrum. The Heat are coming off a 122-111 win in New York last night
and Sixers forward Scott Williams doesn't think they should be taken lightly.
This was a tough game for us. We beat them twice this year. They went into New York, and they got a good victory there. And it says, you know, they owe us one. So anytime you catch a team with them, we've got a little bit more added incentive to play for it. It's going to be real difficult. But we feel confident in the way we're playing. We haven't played Indiana to a close game. Playing New York, it's there, very close game. We feel that we're improving, and we want to make sure we're going to keep making positive steps towards that goal.
It'll be the first of four games in a five-day span for Philadelphia, and to give the starting five some rest, head coach John Lucas must use his bench more, but he feels their play has got to be picked up.
He's right, but our bench has got to come through to play minutes. We're going to be worn out by then. That day we're first. It's a mindset that we're going to play them more and let them play to mistakes. I'm not so sure I'm ready to let them play to a lot of mistakes out before and just stay on the floor. I don't think our fans deserve us to get this year for people to improve. They got to earn minutes to improve, and that's how we're treating them.
One of those backups is Sharon Wright, who did some extra running drills after practice to try and get his weight down from 264 to a targeted 255. Injured Jeff Malone, who didn't dress in the loss to the Knicks on Saturday because of a sore right heel, won't play tonight, but look for him to see action tomorrow when the Sixers visit the Milwaukee Bucks. Until then, Willie Burton will start in his place. Reporting from the Core State Spectrum, I'm Jason Barr for WXPN Sports.
That's all for the pregame show. Stay tuned at halftime for a feature on 10 guard Jerome Allen. We'll also have an interview with Dick Vitale. Plus, we'll preview the St. Joe Hawks and get you all up to date on scores and news from around the sports world. But now it's time for tip-off between Penn and Michigan. Adam Herzog and Scott Lidner are courtside at Chrysler Arena for the call of tonight's game.
Well, Midwestern basketball at its finest. You can probably hear the Michigan fight song in the background. The Pennsylvania Quakers and the Michigan Wolverines. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Chrysler Arena. We are on the floor, so you will be on the floor tonight. And what should be a great matchup between two different teams, maybe stylistically. We'll go through it here, Scott. The Quakers, of course, coming into the game 3-1. They've been shooting the ball pretty well in these last couple games. Michigan, 4-3, it's been a different story.
Yeah, Michigan's had their problems shooting the ball. They only shoot about 44% in the season, Adam. They seem to be coming around a little bit of late, but they really have to make sure that they watch their shot selection against the Quakers. The Quakers may open the game in the 2-3 zone, Adam, to try to make them shoot a little bit from the outside. They're not that good from behind the three-point arc. It's going to be a matter of whether or not their leaders, Ray Jackson, Jimmy King, can get the ball down from outside about 10, 15 feet. Let's talk about Michigan a little bit. Of course, Jackson and King, the two holdovers from that Fab Five class that took this team to two championship games in the NCAA tournament. Of course, the other players that left, Weber, Howard, Rose, those names ring a bell there for many basketball fans out there. And these two are left over, but they got some new blood, so to speak, especially some great players out of the Detroit, Michigan area.
Yeah, the Wolverines really have some great freshmen once again. Steve Fisher refuses to call the new guys the Fab 5-2. Nevertheless, these guys can really play. You have some guys like Maurice Taylor, a 6'9 forward, who's really got great leaping ability. Some say he's one of the best that they got this year in the freshman class. Mayfield Baxton, also real powerful. Gerard Ward, he was number one in terms of the recruits when they came in. And, of course, a couple other guys, you know, that really have been making a factor. Travis Conlon, another freshman that really so far has played very well for the Wolverines.
Of course, for the Quakers, coming into this game, a big game, they're 3-1. They just beat Ohio State and SMU. So, of course, the second Big Ten game of the season for the Quakers. The last time that happened, they played two Big Ten teams in the same season back in 1962. And so right now you have two bunched up against each other. The Quakers have a surprising record against Big Ten schools. That's because of Penn State. It's 44-36. With Ohio State, they're 5-5. Michigan, they're 4-6. This team, the 11th beating. The Penn State, Sydney Lions, they're 30-9 against that team. So the Quakers have some confidence. Brand Dunphy is 3-2 against Big Ten schools. Quakers really, and for the first time all year, got the underdog going into this game.
And I think they're really excited about that. They came in, they're really excited to play the Wolverines. They know that this is a ranked program, 25th nationally, and they're ready to come in and really turn some heads. The Michigan fans are all excited for this game. Now let's run down the Michigan lineup real quick. At the guard position, Dugan 5'6", a junior out of Clarkson, Michigan. He only averages 1.9 points a game and 2.7 rebounds. Jimmy King, he's the man that leads the team, number 24, also at the guard, a 6'5 senior from Texas, 15.9 points a game. At the forward position, Gerard Ward, he's one of the freshman sensations, 6'9", 8.4 points per game. Maurice Taylor at the center position, also 6'9", a freshman from Detroit. And the last person on the team, Ray Jackson, another one of the Fab 5 members, 6'6", senior. He's a forward out of Austin, Texas.
The head coach, of course, Steve Fisher, at 127-48 in 6 years with the Michigan program. And a national championship. As for the Quakers, let's give you their lineup. You probably know it. Matt Maloney, Jerome Allen at the guards. Allen has been all world. We'll get into him a little bit later. Allen averaging 20.8 points per game. Eric Morrow plays the center position, averaging 14.5 points per game. At second on the team, Scott Kegler, of course, the swing man, the three position. He will be up against Jackson tonight. That is a very interesting matchup. And we'll see how Dunphy switches Kegler in with Bowman. We'll see how he takes advantage of Kegler's height. But Bowman's quickness against him, very dangerous, Ray Jackson. And, of course, Sean Trice, forward, 6'7", senior from Detroit, Michigan. This is his homecoming. After playing in Philadelphia, you know, a lot of these players of the Quakers are from the Philadelphia area. He's playing at home tonight. Sean Trice, back in Detroit, Michigan. Trice averaging 8 points per game. He had 13, his season high, against FDU last Saturday.
And Sean Trice, I don't think there's a happier person on the court right now. As I mentioned earlier, all those tickets to the game, his fans are sitting up in section 53 up in the upper deck. But you can bet that we'll hear them as the night goes on rooting for Sean Trice.
And Trice will take the tip. Quakers in the away red uniform going from our right to our left. Michigan in the home white with the trimming of gold and blue. They'll be going from our left to our right. And taking the tip, Maurice Taylor and Sean Trice. And the tip goes. For the Wolverines, Dugan Price picks it up, and Ray Jackson will, Jimmy King will take it up. And a man-to-man defense of the Quakers early on, Jerome Allen playing King, and looks like they're going with the alley-oop, and it's no good. King just missed the layup, ball out of bounds. They're going to call it off of King, Quaker ball, and it's a dangerous, explosive way to start this game for Michigan.
Got a chance to watch the Michigan walkthroughs, and as Steve Fisher mentioned to the team many times, they were actually walking through this backdoor pass, the backdoor alley-oop. Obviously, they think the Quakers are susceptible to it, and they opened up with it.
Kegler has it, left side to Maloney, Trice trying to work inside, not much there, back to Allen, right side to Kegler, fakes the three, Jackson on Kegler, Kegler will take the three from the right side, and hits it, and the Quakers jump to a 3-0 lead, just underway at Chrysler.
Scott Kegler didn't play that great in the FDU game, but he's come on red hot in this one, 11 for 22 on the season, 50%, now he's above that.
Quakers down to 2-3 zone, we thought they would play this zone, and here we see it for the first time tonight. Inside now to the freshman Taylor, turnaround shot, no good, more battle for the rebound, and Trice picks it up, his first rebound down to the game and gives it to Matt Maloney.
Sean tries 6 rebounds on the season, 6 a game.
Maloney takes it to the hole and hits. He connects on the layup. Maloney taking it to the lane. 5-0 now. The Quakers with the lead.
Michigan students won't sit down until they score their first basket. They've been standing so far 2 minutes into this game.
Jackson right side being guarded by Tedward. Inside now to the freshman. And that is no good by Ward. Rebound to Jerome Allen.
Of course, we've seen Michigan have these problems shooting. They can go cold, and then they can also go red hot. Ward, if they can turn it on.
And Ward shooting only 39% from the floor, so the freshman having some difficulties out here. Eric Moore gets it on the right side, way outside. Has to get it out to Trice. Now to man-to-man defense as Trice has it. Picks up his dribble inside to Eric Moore, trying to make a move on Ward. It does, and connects, and the Quakers are off to a 7-0 run, 18-15 to go in the first half. Michigan is yet to score. And that shot is no good by King, and the rebound to Scott Kegler.
It's a great start here for the Quakers. They couldn't have hoped for anything better than this.
Allen right side to Kegler. Wide open, three from the point. In and out, no good. And the rebound comes down to Gerard Ward.
Kegler really wanted that when he was wide open. He doesn't get a much better look than that very often.
But he didn't get it to go down. And remember, the Quakers jumped to an 8-0 lead against FDU last Saturday. Starting strong again. As Maurice Taylor-Needle throws it out of bounds, looks like, well, Michigan wants to talk this over for a little bit. The Quakers coming out strong here. 17-46 left in the first half. The Quakers lead at 7-0. We'll keep it right here for now. What do you see here, Scott, going on early on? I mean, the Quakers just defending a little bit.
The Quakers really hitting their shots, 3-for-4 so far from the field, 75%. Michigan hasn't gotten one to fall down yet, 0-for-3, obviously that's 0%. And the thing right now is going on the court, Michigan is really a little bit confused with the switch up between the man-to-man and the 2-3 zone that the Quakers have done early in this game. They're getting some decent looks at the basket, but they're not getting the rebounds that everybody was so concerned with back on Penn State.
Well, of course, the Quakers doing it a little bit inside-outside. That's a good one. You gotta like to see that at this point. Quakers jumping for this early lead right here, early in the game. Now, we know this is both teams are very streaky teams. The Wolverines go in Cameron Arena down in North Carolina against Duke 8 minutes without a bucket. And the Quakers, of course, against Fairleigh Dickinson. We saw them get down by 12 early on and then pull it away. We'll see how that plays out. But we really haven't seen a complete solid effort by the 10 Quakers this season.
Yeah, but you can see it starting to come on. If you take a look at the SDU stats, 56% from the floor. The Quakers are, you know, an experienced team, and that's going to be to their advantage in this game. As we mentioned a couple of times, Michigan starts two freshmen, and they rotate in at least two others, and often the fifth freshman off the bench, too. So you're going to have to see how the Quakers' experience and the Michigan's inexperience in this game is going to pan itself out over the course of the afternoon.
Well, the Quakers are just about to get set to get back onto the quarter. Quakers with a 7-0 lead, looking for their second win against the Big Ten in the same season. This would be a big one. The Michigan Wolverines coming into the game, ranked 25th in the AP poll, 22nd in the coaches' poll. Of course, the Quakers in there with votes in both of them, but this would do a win here. Even to play them well would really do a lot for this program.
And I'll tell you what, it was interesting to see Michigan break its huddle there. Jimmy King and Ray Jackson talking to each other, almost laughing a little bit. They're the veterans on this team. They're not nervous yet. We're only 2 minutes and 15 seconds into the game. 7-0 is not an insurmountable lead by any point. So we're going to have to see how they respond after this timeout.
And Jackson gets it into King. It's 17:45 and counting. That Michigan is yet to score. 7-0. The Quakers lead it. Mathieu Mayfield bashing in the game now. King on the right side. Quakers still on that 2-3. Jackson thinks about taking a 3 in. 5 stars and 5 gets it. And the Michigan Wolverines are on the board 7-3. And for Fife, a rare bucket.
Yeah, 2-5 averages under 2 points a game this season after averaging 6.7 last season. That's a great big bucket there for Michigan as it gets the fans back into this one.
Yeah, he was only shooting 25%, 20% from the 3. And an alley-oop to Allen. No, nothing there. A little bit short on the pass, but the Quakers get it back. Edward, the Maloney takes the 3, pulls inside, in, down low. The pass is forced, broken up. And this game comes out running with Fife. Fife taking it right to left, and the turnover is the pass is trying to get in, and Allen has it now. A wild sequence. Allen on Fife behind the back, not much there. Into Eric Moore. Moore goes up with the shot. No good with the foul call. Moore will head to the line.
Well, it's always an adventure when Eric Moore goes to the line these days. Shooting under 50% from the line, Adam. 6 for 13, that's 46% from the line. Interesting sequence there for the Quakers as Matt Maloney had a wide-open three-pointer, decided not to take it. I guess he wanted the short bucket, and then when he went inside, he tried to make a quick pass that didn't get inside. Obviously, the Michigan defense pretty tight down there. He's got some big arms and some big bodies bouncing around against Eric Moore. But Moore did get the foul.
Moore 6-13 from the line this season. His first shot is up, however, and good. So the Quaker lead extended 8-3, 16-54 to go here in the first half.
And this has been one of those areas that the Quakers can improve and will improve as the season goes on. They were a better foul shooting team last season, only around 64% as Moore hits the second. And that's a good sign for the Quakers early on.
9-3, Fife gets a quick one down court to King. Back to Fife on the right side. Baston has it now at the point. Looking back over to Fife right in front of us here on our sideline. As we are sitting here in Chrysler Arena, the 3-point taken by Jackson way off. And the ball will be saved by Baston, but right into the front press row out of bounds. It'll be Quaker ball. Looks like a little bit of tentative down low. Scott Kendler that time getting that rebound. But the Quakers managed to force the turnover.
Well, that happens sometimes, Adam, because they're playing a 2-3 zone, and obviously they're used to the man-to-man that they play against lesser teams that aren't quite as big inside. So sometimes there'll be a little bit of confusion as to who's going to be taking the rebounds on certain plays. Scott Kegler looks a little bit confused there.
Kegler will pull up and hits it, a three-pointer from the left side. Scott Kegler, 2-3 with 6 points. 12-3 now. The Quakers with a 9-point lead early on here, 16 minutes. Just about in counting on the first half. Right side now to King. King can work on by Kegler. Now to the point to Jackson. Jackson setting things up. Left side to Fife. Now on the other side is King. Quakers defense seems to be stifling these guys a little bit here. Baston inside. Not much there. 12 seconds on the shot clock. And looks like they're going to travel on the freshman. Mayfield Baston. Freshman out of Dallas, Texas. Averaging close to 5 points per game. Part of that depth this team has size-wise.
Yeah, that's Mayfield Baston, as we mentioned, came in from Maurice Taylor. They like to rotate the freshmen a lot. In fact, they start different freshmen at different times. Mayfield Baston, that's a freshman mistake right there. Once the double team comes, tends to pick up his feet a little bit, try to get better position. Can't do that, though, unless you're dribbling.
Well, Kegler, 2-3, two big three-pointers, and it's 12-3. The Quakers with the lead. Allen now, left side. Looking for something, not much there, being worked on by Jackson. Inside to Eric Moore, trying to make a move on Baston. Back out to Kegler, to Maloney for three on the right side, and Maloney hits! The Quakers are hitting early as Maloney picks that as 5 points now. 15-3, a 12-point lead for Penn.
Well, this is just a great sign for the Quakers right now. When they're hitting their outside shots, they really are tough to beat.
Fife open, right side, three-pointer, no good. Trice with the aggressive rebound. He gives it to Allen, and Allen will take it up.
Going Trice went way up high there over the taller Gerard Ward with great position and pulled that one down.
Edward now, three-pointer. That's good.
Look out! The Quakers are hitting early on. 9 points for Scott Kegler, and it's 18-3 with 15 minutes exactly to go here in the first half. Surprise, surprise. Inside to Ward. Ward with the easy layup. A little bit of lapse that time on defense. And this finished 5 points. Quakers with a 13-point lead. Kind of a little bit excited there with their offense. Eased up on the defense, and that gave them the easy basket. Eric Moore has it at the point. Left side for Allen. Allen will take the three from the left side. That's no good. The good rebound that time by Dasson. He gets it to fight. Lakers have to not forget what got them here. Good passing so far. Oh, Jackson was pretty behind the back move. His shot, however, no good in the paint, and the rebound comes down to Sean Trice. Trice rebounding well early on. Only out to Kegler. Jackson decides to come out to start Kegler this time after his early good shooting point. Allen, nice save inside the shot. No good. Trice with the rebound, and Trice puts the shot up. Nothing there. Jackson got a piece of it, and Jackson will run it. To five, left side, 5-for-3, hits the front of the rim, no good. And Jerome Allen gets the loose ball, and Gerard Ward puts him down with the board. So Michigan still shooting cold here, Adam, in the transition game. Looked like they had numbers there and should have run it to the hoop. Nevertheless, Dugan Fife decides to pull up from 3 points, try to get things going, and couldn't get it to go down short off the front rim. Well, Quaker's slowing it up a little bit here. 15 seconds of that on the shot clock. 13:45 to go in the first half. Quaker's 18, Michigan 5, little four corners. We know, as Dunphy said, you know, we may see it. They worked on the practice. Foul will be called for Gerard Ward. That's his first. Interesting matchup there as Gerard Ward was covering Matt Maloney. You know, there must have been a mismatch somewhere inside for the Quakers in terms of size with Gerard Ward's going to be covering Matt Maloney. Matt Maloney also with some good dribbling ability. Tried to go around him, take advantage of his speed, and that's how he got the blocking foul. So Jimmy Tingle take a seat for Michigan into the game. Well, another one of these freshmen. The first time we've seen him tonight. Willie Mitchell coming off of the bench, as well as Maurice Taylor into the game. Tim Krug checking in for the Quakers, replacing a very hot Scott Kegler right now. Eric Moore also goes to the bench for the Quakers, and he's replaced by Ira Bowman. So the two new guys, or the two first guys off the bench for the Quakers, are both in the game now. Let's see how this changes the pace. Allen gives it to Maloney. Krug gets a pick for Maloney. Not much there. A double team off, and Krug gets the ball. Left side now to Trice, to Bowman down the baseline. Back out to Allen. 15 seconds on the shot clock. Bowman right side to Maloney. Maloney looking inside to Eric Moore. Not much there. Gets it back out to Maloney. The long range three is good. Maloney hits it. A three-pointer. And the Quakers have a 21-5 lead. Maloney with eight. Maloney has 8 points, and he's shooting completely relaxed. It's just great to see in a big game like this. Maloney really has a confidence about him as he shoots the ball. Mitchell down low to Taylor. Ball goes out of bounds. It'll be Michigan ball off of the foot of Sean Trice. Taking it in bounds. Willie Mitchell for Michigan. And as far as shooting go right now, Adam, the Quakers are shooting an unbelievable 64%. Oh, Mitchell wide open from three from the baseline. That's no good. And the Quakers are going to run with a 3-on-2. Bowman on the left, Allen on the right. Allen gets it. Right side baseline. Back to Maloney. Long range jumper is good. Matt Maloney has 10 points. And oh boy, Matt Maloney is doing the job tonight. 23-5. Quakers look great there so far in the transition. As Steve mentioned, the Quakers are in the zone right now. Matt Maloney is unconscious. 10 points so far from Matt Maloney. Jackson has it inside. It looks like they're going to call a travel on the play on Jackson. Can't believe it. That's three turnovers right now for Michigan. Right now, and obviously that turnover was caused there by Ira Bowman. Ira Bowman with a quick feet getting inside, getting both of his hands on the ball as Ray Jackson made his move to the hoop. Ray Jackson had to change things around a little bit, and it didn't seem to work as he got called for the travel. Allen has it now on the right side. 12-10 and counting to go here in the first half. 23-5, a Dugan 5 three-pointer, and a long bucket, the only point for Michigan. The shot by Krug, no good, but Sean Trice with the rebound. Back to Krug, right side to Bowman. Bowman will set the offense up again, and gives it to Allen at the point. Great poise here by the Quakers. They're really showing that they know how to work the ball around. The passing has been very good so far. Everyone taking patient and open shots. Bowman on the right side. He's going to drive the lane, put up the leaner, and he's going to draw the foul. Foul that time committed by Maceo Basson. Ira Bowman did a good job to get to the lane, and I hate to liken, you know, any game to another game because all these teams are so different, but if you take a look at the way Michigan started out against Duke just a couple of days ago on Saturday, and Duke jumped out to a 24-11 lead in that game, Adam. This game is 23-5, Penn is up, excuse me. And then, after falling behind the 24-11, Michigan went on an incredible run for 9 minutes. Duke did not score a basket. And Michigan ran off 22 straight points to take a 33-24 lead. It's an incredible sort of run, you know. Wasn't quite sure what was going on in that game. So obviously Michigan's got its work cut out for it, but they've been there before and they have come back.
Montar Injai in the game, replacing Maceo Baskin. He'll take a seat. Bowman on the line for the year. 10-13, 77%. Eric Moore getting set to check back into the game. And Bowman's first free throw shot is no good. Matt Maloney by like 4-4 early on here. 10 points. Jerome Allen and Sean Trice will take a seat as Kegler and Moore into the game. Jerome Allen doesn't have a point yet, and the Quakers have this lead, which is 18 at 23-5, 11:42 left in the first half.
Well, this is what's so great about the Quakers. They have Jerome Allen. They have a bunch of phenomenal role players. Scott Kegler and Matt Maloney both can drain the three as Ira Bowman knocks down that foul shot, upping the score to 24-5. But that's the great thing about the Quakers. They really have all these different role players that can do different things. Eric Moore has contributed inside, and Sean Trice, in his homecoming, has really been a factor on the board.
24-5 to score. TV timeout right now. 11:42 left in the first half. You could almost sense how comfortable the Quakers are as the underdog. And they're showing it tonight. Have the big lead early on here. Let's send it back to the WSPN studios. You're listening to Penn Basketball on the Penn Sports Radio Network.
Pizza House is proud to sponsor Quaker Basketball on WXTN. Pizza House, located at 39th and Walnut, features party-sized pizzas, rotisserie chicken, and delivery service. Pizza House is open from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. daily. For more information, the number is 222-2066.
Well, there's a long time left in this game, but with 11:42 left in the first half, the Quakers with a 24-5 lead, and they've just been shooting the lights out, to use a cliche of Michigan. Kegler, 3-4, all 3-pointers. He has 9 points. From 3-point land, Quakers 4-7, 57%. Michigan only 1-5, 20%.
And, of course, from all over the place, from on the field, the Quakers 8-13 so far in this game. Adam, 62% to just 20% for Michigan. Now, you talk about the three Michigan losses. In two of them, they shot 35 and 31% in those two games, ASU being the 31%, and Duke just on Saturday was a 35% shooting effort for Michigan. So, obviously, they are prone to some poor shooting, but nobody would have expected this. 20% right now, almost 10 minutes into the game.
Bobby Crawford bringing the ball up for Michigan. Lakers still in that 2-3 zone. Jerome Allen on the bench right now. Mokhtar Injai with the ball. Left side to Jimmy King. Back to Injai at the point. Injai doing double teams to King. Left side. He takes the leaner, and that's no good. But the rebound comes down to Maurice Taylor. And Maurice Taylor puts the shot back. Big offensive board that time for Taylor. 24-7. Lakers with the lead.
And Michigan's going to get those sorts of baskets because of their size and their athletic ability. Maurice Taylor is a great leaper. We saw that right on the opening tip. And he got that putback just by going over everybody in a red uniform.
Bowman to Kegler. Kegler faking the three, being guarded by Jimmy King. Back to Bowman, right side. Bowman thinking about the three. Bounce pass inside. Eric Moore. Nice move by Moore. The shot is no good. They're going to call the foul inside, however. And Eric Moore, a very aggressive move. He's shoot it all year from him.
Yeah, Eric Moore, just a little spin move to the inside. Got himself facing the basket. Then a little bit of a head fake. Got both of the two young Michigan players up in the air. Then went up right after them and had to foul him. Otherwise, it was going to be an easy layup for Eric Moore.
10:56 to go. Moore 2 of 2 on the line tonight. And he goes for number 3 right now. And that shot is up and good. Moore 3 for 3. 25-7 is the lead. Quakers look simply look impressive here in the early going.
Team foul so far. Michigan 4, Penn 0. And that obviously is an indication of what exactly is going on. Penn just has not needed to foul to this point in the game. They are just clicking on all cylinders right now. 26-7, 10:53 to go here in the first half.
Jerome Allen getting set to check back in for the Quakers right now.
As Crawford has it on the right side.
Bowman in his face. Back to King on the right side baseline. King being double teamed. Gets to Crawford at the point. Left side to Willie Mitchell. Mitchell kicks the leaner in the paint. That's no good. Matt Maloney with the rebound. And he will bring it up for the Quakers.
And the 2-3 zone still causing problems for Michigan as the Quakers really are owning everything on the outside, forcing Michigan to shoot, and then really pounding the inside for the rebound. Pegler has it left side now into Eric Moore. Moore trying to make a move on Inzai. He does the foul. The shot is no good. Rolls out. Another strong move by Eric Moore. And yeah, and you would think that the Quakers wouldn't have that advantage down low, given the athleticism of this Michigan team and the youth and the speed. But they're going after it. They hit from the outside, and now they're making things really happen for themselves inside game. The only explanation for this, Adam, is experience. Eric Moore has been there for 4 years. He knows how to get bigger men up in the air. He's played against bigger men most of his career. He's listed as the Penn center, although Sean Trice does take the tip. And he's in there banging with the big bodies because he does weigh about 235. So obviously he's been there before, and he's just getting these freshmen from Michigan up in the air and getting things to go. Go figure. This is statistics for you. Eric Moore, 6-13 on the year from the free throw line tonight. 5-5. All 5 of his points coming from the line. 27-7 is the lead for the Quakers, and that shot is good. It's a 21-point lead for the University of Pennsylvania. This is Chrysler Arena. We're in Ann Arbor, I think. If not, somebody wake me up. Anyway, Jimmy King with the ball on the right side. Pick being said as he gets it left side to Mitchell. Back at the point to Crawford. And Inzai loses the ball, gets it back, however. King right side really throws it away. Bowman working on King. Crawford now setting it up. 14 seconds on the shot clock. We're under 10 to go here in the first half. Crawford right side. Good defense by the Quakers here. King with 5 seconds puts up a long range three. No good. Inzai with the putback and the foul. And Inzai will head to the line after another good putback inside 28-9. Well, Inzai right there, 6'9", 240, going up against Ira Bowman, 6'5", 195. Not too much of a question who's going to win that battle on the board. Bowman looked a little surprised that they called the foul on him. Nevertheless, it looked like he did get him on the arm, and that's why Inzai is going to be on the line. And Inzai going to the line, only been there 5 times this year so far in 7 games. He's 60%, averaging 2.4 points per game. And Inzai free throw is up, and no good. The long rebound by Scott Kegler, and Kegler will take it up himself as Mitchell putting on a little bit of pressure, but Jerome Allen gets it. And across the timeline go the Quakers. Allen working off the pick. Michigan really keen on Allen as Moore takes the long range jumper. Well short, hits the front of the rim, and downtown Michigan comes up with a Crawford. On the left side, a pretty move that time. They're going to call a charge on Maurice Taylor, as he can't believe it. A little bit disappointed himself. A nice move that time, though. That's 2 fouls on the big man, the 6'9 freshman from Detroit, one of the great Detroit players, part of this new Fab Five that's coming about here in Michigan. Unbelievable play there by Ira Bowman, just so quick getting over there from his spot on the left side of the defense, running all the way to the right because they were in the fast break transition sort of style offense. Was able to get his feet set somehow and get Maurice Taylor to run into him for the offensive foul. John Allen controlling it for the Quakers. 9 minutes to go. Quakers 28, Michigan 9. Ira Bowman still in the game. Left side to Kegler. Kegler fakes the three and nearly loses it. He does. Crawford comes out with a 4-on-1. Jackson. Jackson lays it in. The easy bucket. It's good. 28-11. Quakers now lead is down to 17. For Jackson, those are his first 2 points of the evening. Scott Kegler's upset with himself. He's really a sure ball handler, and he doesn't really commit too many turnovers. That time he just lost the handle, confused as to whether or not to shoot or dribble. Made the wrong decision. Eric Moore has it right in front of the bench. Scott Kegler fakes the three. He was open for it and gets it back to Ira Bowman. Thrown out all the way at the point with 13 seconds left on the shot clock. As the Michigan fans defense, perhaps this is their time to get back into the game. Allen now, 6 seconds, 5 seconds, loses the ball. Tim Crew gets the block out of his hand. And Jimmy King has a wide open dunk. And he jams it home. Michigan may be coming back here. 28-13. And back into the game is going to be Zach Maloney next time out. Maybe with a couple of awful turnovers. Well, we had all these stats for you on Jerome Allen versus Jimmy King. That's Jimmy King's first 2 points. Jerome Allen has yet to score. The other player is really a factor in this game. Edwards three from the right side. No good. Over Moore with the putback as a defensive lap by Michigan. And the freshman, Willie Mitchell, the Quakers 30, Michigan 13. Long-range jumper, no good. Jerome Allen with the rebound. Well, Michigan forces shots as Jackson missed it. 7:45 to go in the first. Right now, Eric Moore, the big man for the Quakers inside, has 10 points. He's really having a phenomenal game for the Quakers against some bigger men. And obviously, the Quakers trying to slow things down a little bit. Settle down this Michigan crowd, which came to life after the Jimmy King dunk. Looks like they're going to call a foul. A pushing foul away from the ball on... looks like it's going to call on Jackson away from the ball. So, well, as for Michigan, that's going to be personal foul number 6. Well, 7:31 to go in the first half here from Chrysler Arena. Timeout on the floor. We'll send it back to the WSBN studios now. Quakers with a surprising 30-13 lead. You're listening to Penn Basketball on the Penn Sports Radio Network.
88.5 WXPN in Philadelphia and 90.5 WKHS Wharton, Maryland, broadcasting from the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia.
Andrew Monfrey here in the WXPN studios. Let's get you caught up today on what's going on around the sporting world. First off, in the NBA, the Sixers have a 23-21 lead over the Miami Heat at the Spectrum. Other games in the NBA tonight, Charlotte plays host to Milwaukee. It's Minnesota and the Hawks. Indiana plays Cleveland. The LA Lakers are in Dallas. Detroit takes on the Bulls. It's Washington at Houston. Sacramento plays the Golden State Warriors. Top 25 college basketball. One other game underway right now. It's 19th-ranked Ohio University, 24. Wright State, 15. One other game coming up a little later will be Minnesota and Cincinnati. Now I'll send you back to Chrysler Arena to Adam and Scott.
Welcome back to Chrysler Arena. 30-15 now. The score chief leading it in on the Michigan sidelines. Merrick Moore has it now. Quick is really trying to slow things up. Allen has it in the lane, off the glass. They're going to call it travel on the play. Another turnover for the Quakers, 6:43 to go here in the first half. And now we get that TV timeout that they didn't call before, but I guess they should have. 6:43 to go, Scott. 30-15. You get a sense Michigan's coming back into this game. Well, I don't know so much if they're coming back, but it seems like they're settling into their game, but they're still missing shots. They're starting to get some offensive rebounds and things like that. The Quakers, though, have got to continue to play smart basketball. They've got to continue passing the ball. They've got to get the ball to these people on the perimeter and keep bringing it down low to Eric Moore. They really just took a great job. Michigan's going to hit their shots. It's not very easy to jump out to a 21-point lead just 10 minutes into any game. Well, the Quakers have got to expect that Michigan's going to start running with them a little bit. The dunk, obviously, was a big thing for Michigan to get the fans back into this one. A little bit to guard Stagler and guard Maloney a little bit, leaving Eric Moore open maybe for a couple layups, a couple of offensive putbacks, and I think that's what's happening. And if you're Brad Dunphy, that's exactly what you had to hope for. Michigan was going to let the Quakers take some of those shots. I think they started to fall, and so they had to, you know, they had to come down and guard them.
If you're Brad Dunphy and the rest of this coaching staff, which worked very, very hard scouting some of these different teams, especially the bigger teams, teams like Michigan, you've got to be incredibly pleased with the way things are going right now, because everything that they've drawn up on the blackboard has worked for them so far. When they started down low, Michigan did. Quakers pulled it out, and they were able to hit the threes. When they came out to stop the threes, Penn was able to throw it down low and get some easy baskets inside. Obviously, the Quakers also have had the luxury of resting some of their bigger name players. Sean Trice had about a 5-minute rest. Even Jarrell Mallon got to sit for 2 or 3 minutes. Everybody on the starting five has actually sat down and had a little bit of a rest, and that's going to keep them fresh for the second half. Because you can bet that this Michigan team is going to make a run.
Well, they're shooting 35% right now, up from 20 early on. 7 of 20 now from the fours. Michigan 10, 9 of 15, still shooting well. 60%. You know, you look at these two coaches, Fisher and Dunphy, both of whom were hired in 1989. Fisher, of course, took his team to those 6 games for the national championship. Interesting, though, Dunphy's won his league twice. Defense and the Michigan Wolverines, as much success as they have had, they have not won the Big Ten title under this coach.
And you kind of wonder here, Adam, what would happen if Steve Fisher was in the Ivy League?
He may take a title or two.
Yeah, it's actually with these players.
Well, Jackson loses the handle of it, so a turnover for Michigan. They could have cut the lead. Kansas 30-15. Allen brings it up the left side. Michigan really keen on Jarrell Allen right now, playing him very tight. Maloney right side, three-pointer. That hits the front of the rim. No good. Quakers coming up a little bit short now in their shot as Fight brings it up to King.
And that, of course, was Matt Maloney's first miss. It was also the first shot that was contested by the Michigan defense.
Well, let's see what they saw. They're going to call a foul away from the ball, and Eric Moore, that's his first, team third.
Yeah, Eric Moore obviously trying to fight for position down low, thinking that they might be shooting from the outside. Not necessarily a bad play, kind of a nickel and dime sort of foul. Eric Moore grabbing a little bit at the shirt of one of the Michigan freshmen.
So Michigan takes it out underneath its own basket, inbound to Baston, looking for King. No one there, and Fight tracks it down all the way on the right side. King has it now, double teamed. Oh, great pass inside to Taylor, and a foul will be called on the play, most likely on Sean Trice. Nice no look pass that time.
Unbelievable pass. Don't know how he got that down low. Fife had broken loose in the right corner for Michigan, and everyone thought the pass was going there. But nevertheless, they got it to go down low inside between two Penn defenders, and then they got the foul called as everyone was trying to hack, make sure the layup didn't go.
Eric Moore has two fouls. Well, so Morris Taylor will head to the line to shoot two on the year. 10 of 18, 56%. Taylor averaging 12 points per game.
Maurice Taylor shooting just about as well from the field at 51.2% as he is from the line, 55.6.
And his first shot is good, cutting the Quaker lead to 30-16. Just so wonderful right here in the first half. So obviously Michigan settling in. They obviously have the home crowd. This place has really filled up nicely for them. And, you know, at the end of finals here, it seems like everybody's got nothing to do but come see a basketball game. Chrysler Arena not filled to capacity. At capacity is Keller hits the second shot. It's 13,000. Keller now at 4 points. Ken's going to look to settle things down now, you would expect. Matt Maloney bringing the ball up against Dugan Fife. Air 4 gets the ball. Left side, Scott Kegler. 4-3. No good. Quakers are on a little bit of a cold streak right now. Dugan Fife brings it up on the left side. Looking for Jackson underneath. Nothing there. Quakers getting back quickly on defense, but as you mentioned, a little bit cold right now. Bastin takes the pass. The shot is up and good. A pretty play that time by Mateo Bastin to put the ball in. Those are his first 2 points. And there's that little down low pass over the Quaker defense that they thought that they could get away with. There's more swing to Maloney. Left side to Kegler. Another open three, and that's good. Scott Kegler hits a big three. 33-19 is the score with 5:15 left here in the first half. Well, Scott Kegler now has 12-20. Only averages 11 on the season so far, this early season as it is. He has really been phenomenal for the Quakers. Jackson to King. King on the left side. Trying to get it down low and does to Bastin. The shot is up. No good. A call foul on Sean Price, and Bastin will head to the line to shoot two, where he's only a 42% free throw shooter. Michigan becoming more patient on offense. They're using some of their pump fakes and whatnot on the baseline. The freshman obviously see Fisher saying to them, hey, don't just shoot the ball. Don't just turn around wildly and shoot the ball. You guys have some height. Use a pump fake. You can look over these guys at the rim. You know, get your feet set under you and make sure you can shoot the ball well. And when they do that, Penn's almost forced to foul them to make sure that the shot doesn't go in. 5:03 left here in the first half. The Quakers 33, and Michigan 19. The first shot no good by Bastin, and he'll take another try at it. So as Bastin sets up for the second one, the Quakers still with a 14-point lead. Obviously, it was as big as 21 earlier in the game with about 11 minutes to go. So with 5:03 left, 14 points, still a pretty substantial lead. Now 13 as he hits the second one. 33-20 with 5:03 left in the first half. The Quakers have done this, by the way. Allen still has no points on the evening. And he started off a little bit slow against SCU last Saturday, but then turned it on in the second half. That was stellar. 7 of 8, and he finished the game with 25 points. Now a little full-court press right here. Maloney gets it off with a timeline to Kegler. Kegler right side to Allen. Allen takes a long three. In and out, no good. Rebound to Jimmy King. And Allen, that's 0 for 2 from three-point land for him so far. 0 for 2 in terms of shots, I think, on Allen, and he has one travel. King over Allen, and that's good. Jimmy King hits the shot, the senior guard. Bump back to 6 points now for King. 33-22, 4:30 to go here in the first half. That's the marquee matchup. King right now beating Allen so far, getting more shots off and hitting with more frequency. Allen's really got to get going into this quicker offense to help his teammates out. Eric Moore has it, swings it all the way across the court to Kegler to Allen. Allen sees the lane, drives it, and puts it in. What a move by Jerome Allen. What great court vision that time. 35-22. And Jerome Allen knew that he had to get himself into this game. He found a huge lane on the left side, and he took advantage. And King finds a little baseline action. Has to get it back out to Jackson. Nothing there as the defense collapses. Quakers now back in a 2-3 zone. Right side King. King for three. That's no good. Eric Moore with the rebound. And the Quakers will set it up. 35-22. Under 4 minutes left here in the first half. King had a good look from the right corner and was well short with it. Maloney now on the right side, trying to make a move on Dugan Fife and nearly lose the handle. They're going to call a foul, a hold foul on, I don't think that's Gerard Ward, the freshman they're going to get on that one. Not sure if they got Gerard Ward. In fact, you're right, Adam. Gerard Ward on the foul there as Matt Maloney tried to dribble between two players. You know, that's a very difficult spot to get between, and obviously I guess he was hoping for the foul call as he went between them because I wasn't quite sure where he was going to go with the ball if he did beat, you know, if he did go through that little trap that they set up right at the foul line. And that's a one-and-one opportunity for the Quakers and Matt Maloney, his first appearance on the line tonight. 6 of 9 on the year, 67%. It's 7 of 10 as the Quaker lead extended to 36-22, 3:45 to go in the first. Those are the foul shots you love to hit, Adam. Well, obviously you love to hit every foul shot you take, but the first one of a one-on-one is so important. You know, it really builds confidence in yourself on the line. It also sets your teammates up. They can kind of relax a little bit as you set for the second. And Maloney drains the second shot. The Quakers, 37, Michigan, 22, 3:45 left here in the first half. And there's a timeout on the floor. Let's send it back to the WSPN studios now. You're listening to Penn Basketball on the Penn Sports Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Quaker Basketball is brought to you in part by University Sportswear, which features hundreds of t-shirts, sweatshirts, and caps, and is located on Penn's campus at 38th and Spruce Street.
Hi, this is Kim Alexander. Let's see, my shopping's done, my cards are done. All I have to do is bake all those cookies, wrap all those presents, and decorate the tree, and then I can relax. If your shopping was done, you can relax, too. How about a WXPN gift membership? Call our toll-free member line at 1-800-565-WXPN and tell us what level gift membership you'd like. For only $40, you can give someone an annual membership, including the member card, the Express newsletter, and the XPN coffee mug. It's a great way for you to support your favorite station and give a great gift at the same time. Besides, if you call us by December 19th, both you and your gift recipient will be registered to win the top 50 CDs of 1994. So call us now at 1-800-565-WXPN, and thanks. And have a great holiday season from all of us here at 88.5 FM.
Welcome back here to Chrysler Arena in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Adam Herzog here along with Scott Lehman, where the Quakers have a 37-22 lead. They started the game out in a 28-7 lead. Michigan, as you mentioned, Scott, started to settle down a little bit. For the Quakers, Allen only has 2 points, but look at what the other role players on this team have done thus far tonight.
Well, nobody's questioned the ability to backcourt for the Quakers, and when Allen goes cold or when Allen doesn't shoot, and he hasn't been shooting much, it's not that he's necessarily cold. Maloney and Kegler take over, both with 12 points for the backcourt for the Quakers, in essence, with 26 points.
McChain leading Michigan with 6 points, 3 of 7 shooting as Dugan Fife gets the inbound pass. 3:30 and counting here in the first half. Maloney nearly forcing a turnover on Taylor. Has to get it all the way out to Jerron Ward, who sets up at the point. Left side to Fife. Jackson looking for it. Gets it in the middle, and Bowman nearly gets the turnover. Ward, turnaround jumper. That's no good. And the ball is loose on the floor, and they're going to call it off of Pennsylvania. That'll be Michigan ball with a fresh 35. Michigan down by 15 points in the first half.
Sean Trice going way up high among the trees there of the Michigan Wolverines, and he's able to at least tip that ball off the glass and over to the Quakers.
And a turnover up for Michigan. The Quakers are run with it. Bowman gets the pass from Maloney. What a move by taking it from the left to the right and lays it in. 38-22. Right back at you come Michigan. And it's King with the ball, and Dugan Fife will set it up.
And Bowman ran that break so well, and then he was the first person back on defense for the Quakers. There's nobody quicker on this court than Ira Bowman.
Tim Krug in the game for the Quakers, committing the foul before the shot on the Ward. And that's only the team's fourth team foul.
Interesting there, Adam, to watch Bowman and Tim Krug talk a little bit. Bowman may be giving him a couple of Big East lessons there as he said, listen, body up with your stomach and get your arms back out there. They won't call a foul on you.
Bowman with a career high, 17 against FDU. Good double team by the Quakers. Ball goes out of bounds off of 10. It'll be Michigan ball again as Allen and Trice converge. The officials give the ball to Michigan right in front of the Quaker bench. As checking into the game, Bobby Crawford replacing Fife. And Jimmy King, replacing Jimmy King.
Jimmy King taking a breather. He could obviously use it. He's been so far the strength of this Michigan team. And you watch the Quaker defense, and they double up on the freshman because they know that that's where they can cause all their turnovers.
Crawford, the sophomore, has it at the point. Jackson in there, the senior leadership. Back to Crawford, right side. Quakers back into that 2-3 zone. And taking it is Jackson over the Quakers, and good. A nice look that time. And he has 4 points. Jackson gives the ball, brings the lead back to 15, 39-24. Tim Krug has it, and Tim Krug throws the ball away. Crawford comes down with it, may have to hold it up, and will, but a bad pass that time by Tim Krug. A lazy pass kicked off by Crawford. Fife on the right side. To Jackson, left side Crawford, three-pointer long, no good. Krug battling for the rebound, they're going to call a foul on Michigan. Looks like a pushing foul on Jackson. It'll be 1-1 now for the Quakers. And Tim Krug, Krug also having trouble from the line. 1 of 6 at 17% shot from the line.
And it's got to get better for Tim Krug from the foul line. You know, he didn't have this much trouble last season. He's just got to settle into some sort of a rhythm from the foul line. You know, he's got a chance here. And it's obviously very important for him to make the first of these two. It's going to build some confidence in him. It'll also settle the team down a little bit.
Yeah, more importantly, Willie Mitchell now checking into the game as Jackson picks up his third personal foul, and we have so much time left in this game. 2:15 left in the first half. To the line goes Tim Krug with a 1-1. 39-24 the lead, and the senior has to take a seat, most likely for the rest of the half. And Krug hits the first shot. Quakers now has 40 points. 40-24 is the score. 2:15 left. as he winds up for his second shot. And Ray Jackson, as you mentioned, scoring 15.3 points a game for Michigan as Tim Krug nails the second one. That's been an important source of scoring, and he's also the best defender on the court, most likely. He's really an all-world sort of defender. They had him matched up against Allen on occasion, and that's what stifled Allen for most of this first half. So Ray Jackson going to the bench not only hurts Michigan on offense, but is really just brutal on defense. So the freshman Mitchell replacing Jackson, the Fab Five, may have to grow up a lot right now. Fife has it on the right side, being guarded by Maloney. Fife is playing some good defense. Mitchell being guarded by Bowman, right side. They're going to call foul on Bowman, trying to play some aggressive defense, and Mitchell will take the ball out. Well, right in front of you, Scott. You see that number 13?
Big number 13. Lucky for some, unlucky for others. Right now, number 13 has been lucky for the Quakers, and Willie Mitchell's going to be inbounding the ball. Doesn't have all that much fun.
You can't see a thing right now, so maybe I'll take over for you if that's okay.
I'd be glad to have you do it for me.
1:58 to go. 41-24 the lead. Michigan with the ball. Quakers now with 16 fouls. Michigan, of course, over the limit with 9. One more, and Michigan shooting the uno a uno. So, Fife gets the ball over the timeline. On the baseline, Jackson gets it back to Fife. Michigan looking for that open shot. They take a three. No good. Rebound, Taylor. Good rebound by Taylor in the jam over Eric Moore and Scott Taylor. And, oh, that's such a dangerous play by Taylor. Oh, that's just explosiveness on offense going up over Scott Taylor at 6'6", bringing that down and then pulling it in. Allen baseline jumper short. Nice rebound by Crawford, 41-26. 1:30 and counting in the first half. And the three-pointer by Ward is up. No good. And the rebound by Mitchell. And Mitchell picks it back. The Quaker interior rebounding now, having some difficulties. Right there for the Quakers. It was Allen and Kegler down low. Looks like things got a little bit confused for them. They got to settle down. Three-pointer by Kegler, way long, but Krug with the putback. That's no good. A long, they needed that layup. They didn't get it. Fife brings it back up the court, and we're just about a minute left here. And they're going to call a walk on the play on Mitchell, a turnover. As well, we're about a minute left before halftime. We talked to Dick Vitale before the game, and it was a great, it's a wonderful feature for you to listen to. Dickie Vitale talking about the Tank Quakers. Dick Vitale, of course, hates to be called Mr. Vitale. We found that out the hard way in the interview. And you'll hear from Dick Vitale at halftime of this game. Right now, the Quakers leading 41-28. 50 seconds and counting, 23 seconds on the shot clock. Maloney thought about the three, nothing there. Krug will take the baseline jumper and won't hit it. Eric Moore trying to get the rebound, and the ball will be tipped out of bounds by Fife. Quaker ball with a fresh 35, 42 on the clock. The Quakers with a 13-point lead at 41-28.
Tim Krug, 0 for his first two, but he's had some good looks at the basket, and we know that he can knock those down when he wants. He's 0 for 4 right now, and two turnovers is as we just found out from Steve Karasik, our statistician. So Tim Krug having some difficulty right now, but he's had some good looks at the baskets, and those will go down as the game goes on.
Well, there's about a six-second differential between the shot clock and the game clock right now. Michigan will get the ball back, have an opportunity to get that. Michigan fans want a foul as Fife tried to act his way into a pushing foul by Maloney. 15 seconds on the shot clock as it is winding down. Matt Maloney has it. Putting the ball on the floor to Kegler. Kegler looking for someone. 7 seconds, 6 seconds. Allen has it. And Kegler walks the ball with 12.4 seconds left. Not the offensive opportunity he wanted that time.
Now, Matt Maloney was hoping to draw Scott Kegler's man over to him at the top of the key and then find Kegler somewhere on the left baseline for a three-point attempt. Really opened up this game once again for the Quakers, but he was unable to do it. And then Kegler had to make something happen with just 8 left on the shot clock as he tried to go into a move and find Jerome Allen. He walked with the ball.
King will replace Ward for these final 12 picks as Fife gets the inbound, and the clock should have started. It hasn't yet, and the clock still hasn't started. 12.4 seconds on the clock. Michigan's had the ball for at least 5 seconds. As maybe the Michigan time clock people are favorable. Crawford for 3, no good. Tim Krug with the rebound, 3 seconds, 2 seconds. Allen puts up the half quarter. That's no good. Time runs out here in the first half with the Quakers coming out amazingly strongly right now. 41-28 is the halftime score. The Quakers, as you mentioned, shooting red hot from the outside early in this game. The first 15 minutes, they looked absolutely phenomenal. Eric Moore contributing down low. Sean Trice on the defensive board. Every one of the 5 starters was really into this game. They had their heads going. These Quakers are all seniors, at least the starters are, and that's the type of thing that gets the Quakers going early on.
There's only one place you will hear Dick Vitale talk at halftime, and that's right here on WXBN. We have a great halftime show for you. We have a profile on Penn's Jerome Allen, who has only 2 points tonight, 1 for 6. Dick Vitale's coming up right at you. Susan Wedner previews St. Joe's basketball this season, one of the Quakers' Big Five opponents. But right now, the situation at hand at Chrysler Arena, where the Quakers are sort of making their world trip. They started a couple of years ago, upset a couple of opponents, and well, they're 20 minutes away from doing it again. 14-40 and counting, so I send it right back for the halftime show. 41-28, the halftime score. Quakers with the lead. You're listening to Penn Basketball on the Penn Sports Radio Network.
Back in the WXPN studios, Penn with the lead at halftime over Michigan, but other sports stories going on in the world of sports. First off, locally, Temple gymnasts turned cartwheels down Broad Street today after the university's Board of Trustees rejected Athletic Director R.C. Johnson's attempt to axe free sports. By a show of hands, the board voted to spare the Owls men's and women's gymnastics and baseball programs, despite assurances from Johnson and school president Peter Leocouris that the cuts were necessary to help overcome Temple's $15 million budget shortfall. In baseball, things aren't looking too good at the baseball labor talks. According to the Colorado Rockies chairman Jerry McMorris, the players fundamentally rejected the owner's latest plan by not bringing a counterproposal to the table during today's two-hour joint meeting. That followed a lengthy session yesterday, which didn't adjourn until 1 o'clock this morning. The owners have threatened to impose a salary cap Thursday if sufficient progress isn't made at this round of talks. The owners may not be optimistic about the next season, but three teams certainly are. The Montreal Expos inked Felipe Alou to a three-year contract extension. Alou, the manager, led the Expos to the best record in baseball this year. Also, the Texas Rangers signed two free agents and left-handed pitcher Kevin Gross and infielder Mark McLemore. Also, the Angels, keeping up in the arms race in the AL West, they picked up former Orioles reliever Lee Smith. On the court tonight in the NBA, the Sixers have a six-point lead over Miami, 27-21 in the second quarter. These games also in the second quarter. Charlotte leads Milwaukee 33-23. Atlanta with a three-point lead over Minnesota, 24-21, and Indiana over Cleveland, 24-22. Four other games later on, including L.A. at Dallas, Detroit plays Chicago, Washington is in Houston, and Golden State plays host to Sacramento. Top 25 college basketball, they're at the half. Ohio University leads Wright State, 53-29. And coming up a little later will be number 11-ranked the Minnesota Golden Gophers against the 17th-ranked Cincinnati Bearcats. Well, if there's one name that's synonymous with Penn basketball, it's Jerome Allen. Since coming to Penn out of Episcopal High School, Allen has led the resurgence of the program back into national prominence. WXPN's Dean Jacobs sat down with Penn's captain to talk about the season and his fantastic career.
Jerome Allen, the senior off-guard for the Pennsylvania Quaker basketball team, has been a big part of the team's success over the past 2 years. As two-time Ivy League Player of the Year, he has led Penn to two consecutive undefeated Ivy League seasons and has high aspirations for his future in the sport. Yet when choosing a college, academics were as important as athletics.
That's where I was in last time. I recognize that. I wanted to make sure that I can have the best of both worlds, both academically and athletically. You know, what better place to do it than here at an Ivy League institution.
Even though Allen is captain of the Quaker team, he leads more through his actions than through his words.
I would hope that, you know, I'm able to lead through moral influence, not so much. I'm not a talkative person, so I would hate to have to constantly holler and try to get the guys up for games. I would hate to, for them to have to always hear my voice. I would hope that they would respect me as a person, and then take it from there.
Reminiscing on his career here at Penn, Allen realizes that nothing can compare to accomplishing a goal for the first time.
When my first Ivy League championship, and seeing expression on everyone's faces, man, when you realize that one of your goals has been accomplished, and when something's a first for you, no matter what it is, it's always, you know, something that you savor and cherish the most. Every time I look up on the Ivy League Championship banner, you see 1993 sitting there. It gives me a special feeling.
Allen accomplished another one of his goals when he was selected as a member of Team USA for the Goodwill Games last summer. Representing the United States gave Allen this tremendous sense of pride in what he had achieved.
It's a dream of a lifetime. I think any time you get a chance to represent your country in any facet, you kind of feel as though that it's a pride thing that comes into play, knowing that you represent millions and millions of people, and they're depending on you. It's an unbelievable feeling, and something that I'll never forget.
Allen is very likely to be selected in the first round of next year's NBA draft. Yet even with all the fame and fortune that he may encounter in the near future, Allen takes it all in stride.
I can't even sit here and try and think about that, because if I get caught up in worrying about the draft, where I'll be placed, then it'll take away from my senior year here. And that's not only fair to myself, but it's also unfair to my teammates and the coaching staff. But obviously, it's something I'm looking forward to, but I've got to take care of itself.
As Allen looks ahead to tonight's game with Michigan, he realizes how important a win would be for the Quakers. Yet he also sees a win in this game as just one of a series of goals that this team wants to accomplish. For WXPN Sports, I'm Dean Jacobs.
Abner's Cheesesteaks is proud to sponsor Quaker basketball on WXPN. Abner's, located at 3813 Chestnut Street, features a belly buster and homemade pasta salads. Abner's is open until midnight daily and until 3 a.m. on Fridays and Saturdays. For information, the number is 662-0100.
One person who has been instrumental in the recent popularity of college basketball is ESPN commentator Dick Vitale. The often imitated, never duplicated microphone annex of Vitale have made him into a cult figure at colleges all across the country. Before tonight's game, Adam Herzog of Scott Litman spoke to Vitale about the Quakers.
Hey, I'd like to welcome Mr. College Basketball himself, Dick Vitale. And Dick, you don't get to see Penn that often. I was wondering, have you been following the Quakers? What do you think of them this year?
Well, I've been following them for the past few years. They got such a great basketball tradition. I remember back during the Dick Harter era when they were absolutely sensational. That one year, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, they were 28-0, and they were just absolutely brilliant. And they
70-71.
Lost to Villanova in the NCAA regional final. That year, Villanova went to the final game, and I believe lost to UCLA in the final for the national title. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We'll correct you if you're wrong.
Corky Calhoun, Bob Morris, Dick Harter coached that club. Then they had the great run for about 5-6 years with Chuck Daly. Did a tremendous job. My guy, who I worked with, Digger Phelps, was on the staff with Dick Harter. Then I remember Bob Weinhauer taking them in 79, I believe, to the Final Four where they lost to Michigan State and Magic Johnson. And the reason I know a little bit about that team, I was with the Pistons at the time, and we drafted Tony Price in the second round, who was certainly a star at Penn, and they made a great run during the NCAA tournament. Last year, they played brilliantly. I mean, any time a program can go undefeated in its conference 2 years in a row like they have, that is absolutely special. And I addressed that to the young guys here today. I spoke to the team, had a chance to speak. Fran Dunphy asked me to say a few words, and I told them how proud they should be of that achievement. That's a great, great accomplishment.
Now, obviously, a team like Penn hasn't had that much exposure on a national level. How does a team like this tend to come out in a game, and play? Do they tend to freeze up from your experience?
Well, I think the bottom line, it gets down to talent. If you're talented, that ultimately always comes to the top. I think they're talented, especially their backcourt. If their backcourt plays well on the perimeter, they got a chance to beat a lot of people. If they can control the tempo of the game, reduce the number of shots taken at the basket by slowing using the shot clock. If they play against better competition like Michigan and teams that have great athletes who run up and down the court and want to get on the offensive boards, they obviously have a problem if they're not shooting well and if they're not controlling tempo. So I think that's the key. And anytime you've got a Jerome Allen and a Matt Maloney, you got a chance to win because both guys can certainly control tempo. Maloney can shoot the ball. Kegler can shoot the ball. They need to get some solid play on the interior from Eric Moore. And now Bowman comes around, certainly showed a tremendous spark against Fairleigh Dickinson in that route. They got a chance to be a very good team, and they're going to be certainly, I think, dominant again in the Ivy.
One final question for you, Mr. Vitale. Jerome Allen, you've seen him a lot of hype,
Is he a prime-time player? Can he do it at the next level?
Oh, he's a PTP. Don't call me Mr. Bob. I'm sick to you, man. You make me feel so old. I mean, Penn is such a great school, too. But the bottom line is Jerome showed that there were more things in life that he was searching for rather than just being a basketball player. And getting a degree from Penn is certainly going to help him in his future. And the bottom line is I think he's going to get a great chance to play at the next level. He's very athletic. He's tough defensively. He makes good decisions. He knows how to play the game. And I think he'll be a special player this year again in the Ivy League.
Mr. Vitale, Dick, always a pleasure talking to you. Look forward to seeing you again sometime down the road.
Tell all your guys at Penn, they have to find a few moments to relax and to take life easy. They should go out and help me out and get my new Sega Genesis game. Big Vitale, what's the baby college hoops?
Well,
I mean, they can play it in the dorms and have some fun.
I think they're working on it back at school, Dick. Hopefully tonight they'll listen to you, have a blast. I know people are throwing parties, Dick. Looking forward to it.
You look really sharp,
care.
Too. I wish I could dress like you guys.
Wouldn't happen any other way. Thank you again.
That was ESPN's Dick Vitale with Adam and Scott before the game. That'll do it for the halftime show. I'm Andrew Montfried, and I'll be back during the game and after the game for a final look at the scoreboard. But now, second half action between Penn and Michigan. Let's get you back to Ann Arbor, Adam Herzog, and Scott Whitman.
Welcome back to Chrysler Arena here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Adam Herzog along with Scott Whitman. We're about 4 minutes away from the start of the second half. The Quakers with a 41-28 lead right now at halftime, and it's kind of sticking into this arena. I now bring in our statistician, Steve Katasik, for our stat corner. And the Quakers with this lead, Steve. Allen's not doing it. Other guys have to pick it up.
That's absolutely right, Adam. And the two guys that have picked it up have been guards Matt Maloney and Scott Tegra. Maloney finally having that big breakout game everyone was really hoping for. 4 for 5 from the field, 2 of 2 from three-point land. He has 12 points to lead the Quakers along with Scott Tegra. For his first 3 three-pointers, 4 of 8 overall, all his shots coming from three-point range. He also has 12 points. Of course, Jerome Allen struggling, but those other two guys have picked it up. He's 1 of 6 for only 2 points, 0 of 2 from three-point range, but he does have 4 rebounds and has been showing good leadership, so he's done a good job there. For Michigan, the story has been poor shooting, 12 of 32 to 38% in the first half, and they picked it up because, as you mentioned before, they were shooting 20% midway through the first half. So for Michigan to improve, they really got to improve their shooting overall. Penn just to be consistent from the outside, and for them, hopefully get some more output from Jerome Allen.
You know, rebounding has been that much of a factor. Yes, we see Michigan have some putbacks, but the Quakers have done it too on offense. It's only been a 19-18 deficit. You got to think Fran Dunphy and his staff are kind of pleased about that.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons they went to the 2-3 zone, not only to force Michigan to shoot from outside, which they've had trouble with, but to force them, the Quakers, that is, to get on the board. And obviously Michigan's a little bigger, a little stronger, a little quicker down low. But the Quakers, like you said, 18-19, only trailing by 1. Sean Trice leading the way. Big game for the Detroit native. He has 5 rebounds. Like you said, Jerome Allen has 4. And the guards also getting back. Tegler, Maloney also has 2 rebounds. Leading the way for Michigan is Maceo Baskin, freshman center forward, 6'9". He has 5 rebounds for that.
Bring back color analyst for the evening, Scott Whitman. Scott, the lead was at 1 point, 28-7, with 10-16 left. Michigan went on a little bit of a run, and you just can't count them out. The lead is 13 points in a fresh 20 minutes. They just have to be careful of lapsing right now.
Well, not so much careful of lapsing. Well, you know, but they have to just make sure that they continue to play the same game that they played in the first half, make sure that Michigan isn't getting the easy baskets inside. It's basically been an inside-out sort of game. Michigan has been very, very good on the inside, very strong. They're 1 of 11 from behind the three-point arc, which is where all of their shooting troubles have been, because you take that one away, and they're shooting 11 of 22 from inside. That's 50%. That's not bad at all, Adam. It's actually excellent. The Quakers, on the other hand, 6 of 13. There's your 50%, or almost 6%. That's come from behind the arc, and from inside the arc, they only scored 6 baskets so far in actually 14 attempts. So equal success there for the Quakers from inside and out. Michigan's having it inside. They've got to just make sure that the 2-3 stays effective.
And here's an interesting statistic for you. The Quakers on the free throw line tonight, 85%, but they've gone to the line 13 times. Michigan only 5 times. And throughout the year, it's been an interesting pattern that the Quakers really have been going to that free throw line a lot more than their opponents. Going into the game, it was 93 times to the line to 71. Now, of course, you add a differential of 8 to that, and the Quakers keeping opponents away from those easy free throws and those easy points right there. And that's the key.
Yeah, and you know, I'd like to bring up some sort of new explanation for it, but instead I keep giving you the same thing here, Adam, but really all it is experience. The Quakers, with their experience and with the fact that, you know, they are all seniors versus these Michigan freshmen, are able to get the pump phase, get these guys up in the air, and get themselves on the line. You look at where most of those foul shots are coming from, and they're coming from Eric Moore, getting the young guys up in the air underneath the basket on the Penn Quakers offensive end, and then he goes to the line, and most importantly for the Quakers, he's converting with incredible consistency.
Quakers wearing the away red uniform. They'll be going this half from our left to our right. Michigan, the home whites from our right to our left towards their bench. And Steve Fisher and the Michigan Wolverines had 15 minutes to think about what went wrong, what didn't happen there in the first half. Quakers jumping to a 28-7 lead. Michigan chipped away, though. It should be a very exciting, electric second half and the finish of this game. Michigan is too good, 4-3, ranked 25th in the country going into the game. The Quakers going with Edward Moore twice, Maloney and Allen. The Quakers will get it to start this half, wearing those, of course, those away reds, those new uniforms, and donning this season, of course, for the first time.
Interesting thing here for the Michigan Wolverines is that Mitchell is starting the game in place of Jimmy King, it looks like, actually. Jimmy King is on the bench, and Willie Mitchell is in the game starting the second half.
Yeah, Jackson has three fouls. He's in there right now. Begler has it on the left side. Man-to-man defense as Maloney gets it to Allen. Inside to Eric Moore. Moore working inside on Taylor. Puts up the shot over Taylor and hits it. And Eric Moore, a beautiful bucket that time. He hits it. And for Moore, he now has 12 points. Little hop step. Eric Moore's got that down perfectly. And all the Michigan fans wanted a travel call, but there's nothing there. He's allowed to make that turn to the basket. And he does it with incredible... You know, he's very good at it. Taylor in the paint. The shot bounces a couple of times. Though good. He gets his own rebound. Puts in the hook on the right side. That's good. And Michigan response. 19-15 to go in the game. 43-30.
A couple of Quakers getting tangled up under the board for that rebound. Taylor just squeaked in there with his 6'9 frame as much as you can and pulled down that rebound.
Matt Maloney has it, being guarded by Dugan Fife, driving baseline, a jumper off balance, wait, no good, hit from the rim, bounce off, and here come the Wolverines. Mitchell brings it up on the left side, and he'll have to hold it up, and Neil O'Neill loses it that time, but gets it out to Fife, to Jackson.
Not a real high percentage shot there from Matt Maloney on the other end.
Jackson, a nice move, drawing Allen in the air, no good. Matt Maloney gets the loose ball, and he will bring it up to the Quakers, has Kegler on his right side.
Quakers still coming up strong underneath the basket with rebounds.
Allen underneath, nothing there, throws it right to the hands of Dugan Fife, and Michigan's going to run with it, 18-30 left. Mitchell gets it. Mitchell puts up the long jumper. That's no good. Ball loose. Eric Moore with the rebound. Both teams a little bit cold right now to start things off here in the second half. 43-30, 18-20 left.
Fran Dunphy puts his hand up on the Quaker bench, says, Matt, just settle it down a little bit. Let's get a basket here. It's a big offensive series because neither team right now is shooting too well to start the second half.
Jackson guarding Allen. Kegler has it on the left side. Mitchell way out to guard Kegler after his three-point shooting performance. Now inside to Moore. Moore with a spinning shot. That's blocked. Run twice. Gets picked up the rebound. Gets it to Kegler. Wide open. Three from the right side. And that's good. Scott Kegler hits another three. And Kegler now with 15 points. 17:50 to go. 46:30 is the lead.
Well, Kegler opened the game with a three-pointer. Now Kegler comes right back here. Hits his first shot in the second half. He picked up right where he left off.
Jackson has it at the point. Inside, nice pass into Ward. Ward with a hook shot. That's no good. Ball still loose. Kegler has it. Kegler and Price kind of are battling for it, and the Quakers come down with it. Allen taking it up the left side, looking to make a move. Does on the left side baseline. Nothing there. Jackson in his face. Ward fakes the three. Gives it to Allen. 17-20 and counting.
And the Quakers once again showing great patience. Nothing down low for Allen, so he kicked it back out, and now they're going to start again.
Maloney takes the three from the baseline. Good. Look out. The Quakers are hot again. 15 for Matt Maloney.
49-30. A 19-point lead. 17 minutes to go in the game. Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde for Matt Maloney. As he shoots when he's wide open, he hits everything. And when he shoots close, he has all sorts of problems.
Taylor with the putback. And the foul they're going to call. The foul called on Matt Maloney. Inside 8 points now for the freshman.
And what I was going to say before Taylor interrupted me with that little layup there. Unfortunately for the Quakers, Matt Maloney has been more of Dr. Jekyll right now than Mr. Hyde. The other way around. Now you got me all confused, Adam. I don't know one from the other anymore. Matt Maloney's playing very well for the Quakers. It's basically where we're at.
And you go to an Ivy League school, huh?
Yeah,
we're living in Michigan. On the line is Maurice Taylor. 16:56 to go. Maurice Taylor trying to convert to 3 points right now.
Just kidding with you there, Scott Taylor.
All right. And he misses the rebound to Sean Trice. for the foul. That doesn't really hurt him. 49-32 is the score. Under 17. Allen bringing it up. Kegler calling for it on the right side. And Kegler has it. A long three. No good. Dugan fights with the rebound. Going to bounce in and out. And they're going to call a blocking foul on Scott Kegler. Scott Kegler, good feet getting back on defense. Just couldn't quite get them set as Ray Jackson went into his move. I think he was a little bit surprised there with Scott Kegler when Ray Jackson went into the move from so high up. But on the other end of the court, Scott Kegler, a little bit beyond his range when he took that three-pointer. He knows where he can shoot from, and he just was about a foot beyond it, and that's why the shot went short. Quakers once again in that 2-3 zone as Mokhtar Injai pronounced it well so far, Scott. I'm kind of surprised about that. As the ball gets it out to Mitchell to Fife. Fife trying to work on Matt Maloney. Remember, Fife hit a three-pointer earlier on. Swings it all the way across court. Nice play by Sean Fife to tap it out of bounds. He had a wide-open Mitchell on the left side. And it'll be 14 seconds on the shot clock. That's what Michigan will have to work with. Fisher can't be too happy with that pass. Fife went cross court, and he knows better than the guy. Fife is a junior. He's the leader on this court. When he has the ball, he plays the point, and really not a smart pass. Fife blocks the shot by Taylor out of bounds. So Sean Trice coming up big defensively in this sequence. 6 seconds down on the shot clock for Michigan underneath to Jackson. Jackson looking for someone, finds Mitchell, 5 seconds, 4 seconds, being double team, 3, 2 seconds, you're going to have to put something up, 1, and to get the shot off, it's no good, just nothing, as the shot by Jackson, no good, a violation, 35 seconds, the Quakers with the ball, forcing the turnover, Quakers really providing some defensive pressure, Michigan then highly unhappy about that call, they thought it grazed the edge of that rim, it did not, however, the Quakers will have the ball up by 17, with just about 16 to go. Great defense by the Quakers, sparked by the Michigan native Sean Trice, who got that big block down low with about 6 seconds left on the shot clock. That got things going. Quakers coaches were a little bit concerned that Michigan might look for a pass right off the inbound. Couldn't get it, and Quakers have the ball again. Kegler has it now, gives it to Maloney at the point. Back to Kegler, and they're going to call a foul. Pushing foul on Eric Moore. That's Eric Moore's third. Eric Moore's got to be careful. He's the big body down low. He's really got some great size for the Quakers. Looks like he was trying to clear out there a little bit, create a lane with his forearm, and the ref got him underneath. 15-51 to go in this one. The Quakers with a 17-point lead, 49-32. Timeout on the floor. Let's send it back to the WSBN studios now. You're listening to Penn Basketball on the Penn Sports Radio Network.
This is freshman guard George Zaninovich, and you're listening to Penn Basketball on 88.5 FM WXPN, the Penn Sports Radio Network.
Abner's Cheesesteaks is proud to sponsor Quaker Basketball on WXPN. Abner's is located at 3813 Chestnut Street and is open until midnight daily and until 3 a.m. on Fridays and Saturdays. Abner's also offers catering services. For more information, the number is 662-0100.
Welcome back to Chrysler Arena, everybody. Adam Hirschrod, along with Scott Littman, our literature major over here.
And I just wanted to know, Adam, that I did check my book, which I brought with me, and I was correct in my analogy between Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I still can come back to Penn, I think, on the plane.
I don't think the Penn police will be out looking for you, handcuff you, as you're coming off that U.S. Air flight tomorrow morning. Anyway, back to the game at hand, which has certainly been all Penn so far. The game could change hands. Still plenty of time left, 15-51. The Quakers with a 17-point lead at 49-32. Quakers picking up where they left off, and so is Michigan.
Yeah, that's right. As you mentioned, Penn shooting 60% here in the second half. Michigan just 33%. You know, that's been the story right now. Hot shooting from the Quakers, particularly from the outside, as the Quakers, you know, are taking less shots from Michigan to this point. And the other story, of course, is the rebounding. And the Quakers have really done a great job on both the offensive and defensive boards. And that's what's kept them, you know, going and make sure that they haven't really given up much of this lead. So Michigan gets the ball. Quakers no full court press here. Moore still in the game with those three personal fouls. Kegler also in there. John Trice, Maloney, and Allen. Mokhtar Injai in the game for Michigan. Fife gets the handoff from Mitchell, and he'll set it up. 20 seconds on the shot clock. Injai way outside on the right side. Looking inside, not much there. Jackson in the paint. Back out to Fife. Left side. Three is good. And Dugan Fife, it's a big three. 6 points for Fife. 49-35 now. 15-20 to go. here in the game. Dugan fights for fighting the spark plug here in the second half. He did so in the first half, scoring Michigan's first three. He hits a big three-pointer here, gets the crowd back on the
and
feet.
And Maloney will pick a three of his own. That's no good. Drives a little off balance there on the right side. And Fife comes down with it as we approach the 15-minute mark. Wade Jackson with it inside to Taylor, spin moving the paint, and they're going to call a foul. The shot is not going to go, however.
To the line, though, goes with the pressure.
Yeah, good defense there by the Quakers until they had to reach up and grab him because he was just over everybody. That's what the 6'9 height advantage will do. And Taylor, as we mentioned, has that leaping ability. He's just a freshman. He's got a long way to go here with the Michigan Wolverines. Steve Fisher loves the ability that he has, and he's the type of player that's only going to get better.
Mitchell taking a few back into the game. Jimmy King, a little correction on for you. More only with two personal fouls, so he stays in the game. Ira Bowman about to check into the game now for the Quakers. As Taylor's first shot is up, and good. Taylor on the heel, shooting pretty well from that free throw line. Not great. 56%, 49-36 now.
Interesting note for you, Adam. Jimmy King just checked into the game for the first time in the second half. 15 minutes to go, so he sat for the first 5 minutes. Not quite sure exactly what Fisher was doing there. Jimmy King is not in foul trouble.
That shot is no good, and it goes out of bounds off of the hands of the Quakers. Michigan's going to set up and can cut the lead. Well, 13 now, just about where it was at halftime. They can cut the lead to 11.
Jackson will take it underneath the basket, looking for Fife. Finds Fife. Fife being guarded by Maloney. The King at the point. Looking inside for Taylor, not much there. And Michigan's going to take their time to set things up right now.
And that's a wise move by the Michigan Wolverines. They really need this basket. They got to cut into the lead. They haven't had it under 13 for a long time.
Taylor inside over twice and lays it in. A nice move by Taylor. Got a finger over it in that time. 49-38. 11 points and the fans are up. The Quakers need a bucket. Allen has it in the lane. Out to Maloney. Inside to Eric Moore. Moore tracking down the ball. Needs a little bit of help. Hasn't found anyone. Gets it back out to Allen. The fans are on their feet. They can sense that they're going to make the run. It's going to be here. The Quakers nearly throw it away. Maloney has it inside the trifle. Wild sequence. Eric Moore has it and can't hit the layup. A big layup hit that time by Eric Moore. And Michigan can cut it to single digits. Taylor has it. He'll take the long jumper. He'll hit it. And it's 49-40. Looking back in the game. A little bit of a run. Now for Michigan. Allen gets it. And Allen was fouled on the play.
Allen really trying to make something happen down the other end. This Michigan crowd is back on their feet for the first time in a long time. They went to sleep for a while there for about 20 minutes. Michigan is really starting to hit some of their outside shots. Eric Moore, a tough break on the inside layup there. Looked like he had an easy break, and he's had such a good game to this point. You don't like to see him miss that shot, and the Quakers really need a basket here just to settle things down.
Well, now looking for someone to throw it into, and he'll throw it long range to Sean Trice, and Trice saves it from going out of bounds. It nearly went out of bounds. The whole Michigan bench, by the way, is standing up right now. They can sense something may happen. Allen working on Trice. No call. Into Moore. Moore now. He's going to be happy as he goes up for the shot. Injai with the foul. And the Quakers want a foul on Jerome Allen that time. The Trice hit the floor.
Quakers really have to settle down. The inbound pass was all sorts of problems because it went back into the backcourt to track that down. Sean Trice, then he had to keep his balance as he was kind of on the end line. They got it back. Eric Moore had an inside move. Enzi fouled him, and now he's going to be at the line where he's 6-6 thus far today.
And checking into the game is Baskin for Taylor. Interesting move to take Taylor out. It seems to be really been a spark here. He's coming out with 13:47 left in the game.
I think this is really just a spell here for Taylor. They want to give him a little bit of a break because they know he's provided the scoring for the Wolverines thus far.
Moore's first shot is up and good. 7-7. Eric Moore, credit him in the concentration tonight. 13 points on the evening.
Hasn't taken that many shots from the field. He's had decent, you know, regularity when he does shoot from the field, but he's got himself to the line, and that's where he's making things.
The King can take the three from the left side. That is off. The long rebound goes to Baskin. Baskin over Moore, trying to force a pass, and that pass is going to go out of bounds. Off of Michigan, it'll be Quaker ball. Quaker's fortunate that time. Michigan seems to be a little bit undisciplined right now on offense.
Yeah, one too many passes there. Baskin doesn't get a really easy cut to the hoop, and he is 6'9". You know, that's the kind of shot you got to take advantage of from about 5 feet. Decided to pass it up, and that's when you get confused.
Ira Bowman on the left side. Quiet scoring night for Ira Bowman. And we'll see what they're going to call. Looks like they're going to call a foul on Jackson. Inside, away from the ball.
And that's just huge, Adam. Ray Jackson can't believe it. This is a disciplined defender. He's one of the seniors on the team. He's got to be keeping his composure, and he's got to be the one that's really settling everyone else down. He now has four personal fouls. Steve Fisher's got no choice
but to sit him down with 13:07 left in the game.
Well, I think these freshmen right now are going to get a pretty good chance. These two freshmen down low, two going right now are Baskin and Willie Mitchell. The Quakers get it off of the foul. Jimmy Cheney, the only senior of the original five, Fab Five out there. As Ira Bowman gets it right side to Allen. Allen being guarded by King. King not letting much room there. Bowman takes about the three. Good pick by Tim Krug, who steps into the game. Nothing there. Inside to Krug. Krug picks about the shot. Nothing there. Maloney in the lane. Puts up the locker. No good. Short. And Bowman will be called on the foul. Wrapping around in jive. Bowman second. Ira Bowman gets a little bit too aggressive underneath. That's a tough bound to get for an offensive player. Didn't have much position. Tried to swat it out of Mitchell's hands as he pulled it down. And the ref was in great position to call that foul. And a nice shot that time by Matt Maloney, taking it into the lane in the paint. Unfortunately, just a little bit short on that shot. Kind of let it explode up there. But no go. It's a difficult shot to take because he's coming in with such a head of steam, and then he has to pull up and kind of lean back to try to slow the shot down. He did a good job of it, but a little bit too much there. The shot fell just short. King left side, being guarded by Bowman. Driving to the middle, right side to Mitchell, back to five, open for three, it's blocked, and Eric Moore gets the rebound, Krug with a block, he got it partially, as Ira Bowman will take it up, see something, not much there, what a move, and rejected, that time by Baskin. Ira Bowman saw a lane open up and had to switch feet to get to the hoop.
And they called a walk.
And they did call a walk, exactly, that's what I was going to say, you have to switch feet, you know, to try to get himself set for the layup, and that's when they got him for the walk.
Going into the land of the Giants, not much there. As King gets it, still in a tenuous 11-point lead right now, 12-15 left. Baskin being double-teamed, moves it out to five. Had an open three for a second. He'll take it in the lane. Leaves it for King. King on the right side, and they're going to call a blocking foul on Tim Krug for the Quakers at 14 fouls.
Tim Krug trying to get to the baseline there before Jimmy King, and he's just a step slow. Jimmy King is very quick. He is the leading scorer on this team, 15.9 points a game. He knows how to get to the hoop. And that time he beat Tim Krug.
And so taking it underneath his basket is Mitchell. Looking at inbound, and as he's about to hit that 12-minute mark, Fife gets it inbound in front of the Michigan bench. Gets it to King, King with a little room in the paint. Nice step move, nothing there. The rejection missed, however, but Michigan gets it back. King loses control of it, and they're going to call a pushing foul on Eric Moore. And now Eric Moore has three personal fouls. More importantly, by the way, 10 now, 17 fouls. And so they're in the bonus.
Yeah, and Eric Moore was real unhappy with that. It looked like Jimmy King had walked a little bit along the baseline as he ran into two Penn defenders. Eric Moore was one of them. So all Jimmy King did smartly was let go of the ball and let the refs take care of the rest, because that's how they got the foul club on him, a little bit of a blocking foul.
King's been to the line 38 times this season, 63%. The Quakers, Sean Trice, checks in. Well, it looks like he's going to check into the game for Eric Moore. Bowman stays into the game. I haven't seen Tegler in a while there.
Now, Tegler's been on the bench. I think what Dunphy's thinking here is, hey, we got an 11-point lead. There's 12 minutes to go on this one. Let's go a little bit defensive-minded. We don't need the three-pointers just yet. We need to control the ball on offense, and on defense, we need to play smart, and we need to not let them get good looks at the basket. Ira Bowman is a defensive specialist for the Quakers. At least he has been thus far this season.
King's shot is no good, and Bowman comes down with the rebound. Allen taking it up, pushing it up the floor on the right side. Working on King, drives into the lane, and they're going to call a foul. Looks like he may have traveled, but they're going to call a foul on the play. Taylor looking at the official like, come on, give me a break. But nonetheless, Michigan called for the foul.
Interesting there. It was the exact same thing that Ira Bowman had done just a couple of minutes earlier. This time, Jerome Allen got the good fortune of the referees maybe not watching his feet and watching the two Michigan defenders get into position. That's how he got the foul called. Looked like they might have gotten a walk there. The fans wanted it. But the Quakers will retain possession of the ball. So we are under 12 minutes. Timeout on the floor as Taylor picks up his third foul. He's going to force tonight down low for Michigan.
Well, the score is still that 11-point lead. The Quakers are up by only 9, and then 2 free throws by Eric Moore a couple minutes ago, and now it's at 11. Under 12 minutes left. We have a timeout on the floor. Let's go back to the WFPN studios. Now you're listening to Penn Basketball on the Penn Sports Radio Network.
88.5 WXPN in Philadelphia and 90.5 WKHS Wharton, Maryland, broadcasting from the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia.
University Sportswear is proud to sponsor Quaker Basketball. University Sportswear offers over 100 different Penn and Wharton t-shirts, sweatshirts, and hat designs.
University Sportswear is open 7 days a week and is located on the Penn campus at 38th and Spruce Streets. For more information, the number is 222-7366.
Back to Ann Arbor, Michigan, everybody. Adam Hertzog along with Scott River. The players are back on the floor. Jerome Allen's not been a factor tonight, only 2 points, but other Quakers are doing it.
Scott Kegler and Matt Maloney, both three-point specialists, 15 points each. Eric Moore inside, 14 points. The Quakers have had a good balance thus far.
Let's see if they try to go to Ira Bowman inbound class, but they're not going to do it. It's the Quakers finally inbound, and Matt Maloney has it. Into the game for the first time. Travis Conlon, perhaps giving Dugan Fife a little bit of a breather. As Bowman takes it. Tim Krug in the game for the Quakers. Eric Moore taking a seat with three fouls. John Trice back to Matt Maloney. Back to Trice. Trice trying to work inside to Bowman. Nothing there for Bowman. 15 seconds on the shot clock. Allen nearly falls. But gets it out to Matt Maloney. And Maloney will set it up again. Only 10 seconds left, however, on the shot clock. We'll see what Maloney does with it. Into the lane. And then call a pushing foul on Conlon. A tough break that time for Michigan. And that'll absolutely kill a coach. 9 or 8 seconds left on the shot clock. And Travis Conlon is fresh into the game. First time. He's the 10th player that Michigan has used so far tonight. And he commits the foul on Matt Maloney on the crossover dribble there. Gives the Quakers a brand new 35. Maloney gets the inbound pass to Bowman. In fact, Michigan was practicing that Bowman move. And, well, ball out of bounds. Nearly stripped that time by Mitchell. He couldn't control it. It'll be Quaker ball. As Ira Bowman nearly looking at that time. When they practice that inbound pass, so they know it's coming. So many times they surprise you when Ira Bowman jumps and Allen gives him the ball and Bowman just lays it in. But, well, not that time. The Quakers have it with 29 seconds on the shot clock. 11:17 to go. 51-40. We have frozen in time almost here score-wise.
Yeah, and Scott Kegler back into the game. Maybe they're looking for that spark from three-point line. He's been so effective. Maybe they're going to try to catch the Michigan defense, not noticing that the big man that can shoot from three-point land is back in the game.
Maloney, a little bit of a lane, swings across court to Krug. Nothing there for Krug, but puts up the shot anyway. A wild shot is no good, and Conlon has it for Michigan, bringing it up on the left side. Back over to Taylor, Krug, Mitchell.
Krug, as you mentioned, excuse me, Adam, still having his difficulties, 0 for 7.
Oh, a rocking shot by Willie Mitchell goes in from the right side on the baseline. It's a 9-point lead, 10:45 to go. Allen just pulls up for three, does not hit it, and the Quakers get a loose ball. John Trice with a huge trip that time, and Kegler has a three-pointer from the right side. That is no good. Trice still tipping it. Not much there. Conlon coming down with a loose ball.
Michigan looking to up to cut the lead here to the lowest it's been since early in the first half.
Mitchell 3, no good, but Jackson with the rebound. New putback is a foul. A pushing foul on Tim Krug. And Jackson will head to the line and can cut the lead to 7. 10:21 to go here. The Quakers really have gone cold here in this middle part of the second half.
Yeah, the Quakers, 10:21 here to go. And you take a look at the Quakers in the first half. They had 28 points at this point. And right now they've only scored 10 here in the second half. You can see that the shooting has gone south a little bit for the Quakers. They've obviously tried to settle things down. They're working with a lead. But they've got to convert on offense. They're just putting way too much pressure on themselves when they bring the ball back on defense. And this Michigan team knows how to score despite poor shooting.
Baskin, only a 42% free throw shooter. These are a couple of biggies. He hits the first one, and the pen lead is cut to 51-43, an 8-point lead now for the Quakers.
The Quakers certainly are going to try to settle here. Michigan might go to a little bit of a mini press after this shot, see if they can get the Quakers rattled and cut even further into that lead. The Quakers are going to have to show their experience.
That shot is no good. The rebound goes to Tim Krug. So the lead is 8 as we approach the 10:15 mark. Allen has it. Allen gives it to Krug. Over to Maloney. Maloney takes the three from the point. No good. Quakers once again have gone cold. But Sean Trice backs on a huge offensive rebound as Allen has it now in the paint. Trying to make a move. Locks it up and hits it over 4 Michigan Wolverines. Oh, what a shot by Allen. 4 points for Jerome Allen.
4 points, but they've been huge. He had a huge one in the first half, and there you saw him again. He wanted that ball real bad from Matt Maloney, and then he made things happen.
King on the right side, thinking about the three. Conlon's still in the game now. There's another freshman there. The fifth, so to speak, of that Fab Five. Is 15 seconds on the shot clock. 10-point Quaker lead is 63-43. Mitchell trying to make a spin move on Trice, and Trice will be called for a foul. And to the line will go Mitchell.
Trice not happy with himself there. He knows that was kind of a silly foul as he's really not in any sort of position to take a shot with the Michigan player. Sean Trice gave him the foul, and he's going to go to the line. The Quakers, as we mentioned earlier, are already in the 1-1 situation.
So Michigan has a chance to shoot every time they get fouled. Two fouls stand at 9-5 right now. Penn with 9, Michigan with 5. Trice, however, not a factor offensively, but 8 rebounds, and he's done a lot of that offensively as well, so he's really given the Quakers some second-chance opportunities. We just saw it before as Mitchell lines up for the 1-1 and hits it, drains the first shot, and the Quaker lead back to under double digits at 9, 53-44.
And, of course, this lead is the lowest it's been since the 16-54 mark of the first half for the Quakers. You know, so they're obviously scratching a little bit here. They're going to need to settle down on offense and try to find their big play. And then Matt Maloney's got Kegler so far, and maybe you might see a little bit of Jarrell Mallon down the stretch. 9:37 left in this one. It stands as an 8-point lead. A very tenuous time in this basketball game right now for both teams. A little bit of a full-court press shot, as you mentioned right now, as Kegler's bringing the ball up. Staying in the game. Once again, Jackson checked into the game. He was out for that whole stretch there. And they really didn't miss him. Matt Maloney has it. 9:20 is counting to go in the game. 20 seconds on the shot clock. Allen working on King. King's done an excellent job of neutralizing Allen, but Allen goes up with the shot. Blocked. No goaltend called by Jackson. Michigan comes down with it. King now sees the lane. Not much there, but Taylor finds it. The layup no good. And, well, big rebound by Scott Kegler right there. Matt Maloney battling in there and got his hand knocked. That went up and down a little bit. And then Scott Kegler was able to pull down. A great fight, though, by Matt Maloney. Allen on Collins points it to Kegler on the left side. Inside the crew. Allen gets the long pass. Inside now. Allen lost the shot. Posted and blocked by Taylor. Going to be tough to go inside on these guys. 8-point lead again. Quaker offense having some serious difficulties right now. 8:30 about to go in the game. King has it for Michigan on the left side. Trying to work Matt Maloney. Spin move. Trying to work around something. They're going to foul on the Quakers. This is a very whistle-happy against Penn so far. It's been 10-2 fouls.
Yeah, the Quakers having some problems on the defense. It looks like getting their feet crossed up a little bit. They got to make sure that they slow down and make sure they get back into that 2-3 zone that works so well for them. Jarrell Mallon on the other side on the offense, he's having his problems. He's driven into the lane on the last two opportunities, Adam. Both have been blocked. The first one was questionable as to whether or not it was a goaltend. Looked like it from our vantage point, and we have pretty good shoots here down at this end. But nevertheless, Jarrell Mallon's got to settle down. He's got to continue dishing the ball out and make sure, you know, he's pulling the Michigan defense over to him and then finding the open man.
At one point, it was a 17-point lead here in the second half at 49-32, but back to come the Wolverines. And King gets the roll on the first shot. He has one more. It's now a 7-point lead, and King has 7 points on the even. And Jimmy King with only 7 is well under his season average right now, but obviously his points have all counted here down the stretch. He obviously set the first 5 minutes of the second half out, but he's back and he's ready to play now for the last 8:31.
And the second one is good. A 6-point lead with 8:30 and counting to go in the game. Jarrell Mallon taking it up for the Quakers. Quakers looking to set a play. They're going to have to battle this crowd now as Michigan has fought back. They're back in this game down by 6. Kegler gives it to Maloney. Allen is screaming for the ball on the right side. Maloney doesn't see him. Cruz gets it. Back out to Eric Moore, being guarded by Jackson. Not much there. Moore, well, nearly 5 second violation that time. Moore takes it all the way in. Back out to Cruz, to Allen. Allen in the lane. And they're going to go charge on Allen as he went to the lane, passed it off to Eric Moore. And before anything should happen, they're going to charge. And these freshmen here from Michigan really are getting fired up. Maurice Taylor, all excited about that. It's a great play on defense. Jarrell Mallon can't believe it. Someone's got to settle the Quakers down. They've had this sort of experience. The ref talking to Eric Moore, who looks like he's ready to stomp on the midsection there of Maurice Taylor as he lay on the floor. Wolverines are fired up. The Quakers are dragging a little bit. They've got to settle themselves down at this point in the game. And the Quakers get themselves a TV timeout, but Michigan has the ball down by 6. They have fought back. It was down by 21 points at one point. But the Quaker offense is on call, 53-47. And put it back to the WFPN studios with the timeout on the floor. You're listening to Penn Basketball on the Penn Sports Radio Network.
Andrew Montford here in the WXPN studios. Let's get you caught up today on what's going on around the sporting world. First off, at the Spectrum, it's the Sixers, a 63-49 lead over Miami. That game in the third quarter at the half. Charlotte leads Milwaukee 61-57. Atlanta over Minnesota 37-35. Cleveland up by 4 on Indiana at the half, 46-42. And in the second quarter, it's the Lakers 33, Dallas 24. Top 25 college basketball, number 19, Ohio University, having their way with Wright State. They lead them 72-39. Also, two scores from the Ivy League.
Harvard kicked off the Ivy League season with a 58-55 win over Dartmouth, and Seton Hall is trashing Columbia at halftime, 52-28. Now I'll send you back to Chrysler Arena to Adam Herzog and Scott Littman.
Welcome back to a rejuvenated Chrysler Arena here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Adam Herzog along with Scott Littman, where the Quakers lead 53-47, a 6-point lead, but Michigan has the ball with 7:57 to go. Well, did the Quakers peak too early?
No, I don't think the Quakers necessarily peak too early. They're just getting away from what's made them successful to this point in the game. You know, the defense is getting a little bit sloppy. You don't know if they're tired. They are running a 7-man rotation versus a 9- to 10-man rotation that Michigan is running. A huge benefit here for the Quakers would be if they can get another foul on Ray Jackson, get him out of the game. That would obviously help them out. It'll ease things up a little bit for them on offense. But the Quakers have just got to make sure that they settle things down for themselves and find what's been making them worse.
Yeah, coming into the game, the two leading scores for each team, Jerome Allen and Mr. King, Jimmy King from Michigan. Allen 2-for-9, 4 points. King 3-for-10, 8 points. So it's been everybody else except the people you most expected with score tonight. Allen has been held in check.
An interesting Conlon still in the game here. Fisher not going back to his man Fife on the point.
Bastin has it way up top, being guarded by Sean Trice. Touches down a man-to-man defense. He's King over to Conlon. 18 seconds on the shot clock. 7:30 to go here in the game. Conlon inside. Nice pass to Bastin. And Bastin connects on the layup for Fingerhill. Just beat Sean Trice on that pass. And it's 53-49. 7:25 left in the game. And this is one of those runs that Michigan's very capable of. Penn's got to stop the bleeding at this point. They really need a basket. Trice bounce pass. Scott Kegler, left side in front of the Penn bench. Back to Jerome Allen. Over to Matt Maloney. Eric Moore saying a pick. Give and go off the pick. Puts up the layup. And good. Eric Moore with a good layup that time. Moore at 16 with 7 minutes to go. A big bucket, 55-49. Great work there between Matt Maloney and Eric Moore to settle things down, get this crowd to hush up a little bit so the Quakers can play some defense. Conlon thinks about spotting up for the three on the right side. And nothing there. King has it at the point now. 20 seconds on the shot clock. Under 7 minutes to go. Taylor tries to get it inside the basket. And does. Basket lays it in. So here we see the Michigan forward starting to take control a little bit of this tempo. Quick passing once again for Michigan. They got the mismatch they wanted. That was Kegler on Bastin as he made that layup. He's got a huge height advantage there, and he was able to get it to go down very easily. From Allen to Scott Kegler, been held in check by Jimmy King. Allen has it now on the right side, being guarded by Conlon. Gives it to Maloney, 55-51. There's the Quaker lead as Maloney has it on the left side. Over to Trice. Now, Allen working on Conlon, drives the lane, and they're going to call no shot. The shot was good. They're going to call foul on Conlon before the shot. And so Jerome Allen picks up the foul that time. Michigan well under the limit. No, not well under. That's their 16th foul.
And Jerome Allen that time did get the shot to go down. Obviously, the foul was called beforehand. But he still is going to be aggressive. He's going to go to the hoop as Dugan Fife gets ready to check back in for Conlon. Great spot duty from the freshman, though, Travis Conlon.
Well, Conlon leads the game. No points. Two personal fouls. Once again, let's up this on the Michigan foul situation. Jackson with four. Maurice Taylor with three. Jerome Allen's trying to inbound it. He's better get it inbound. And they're going to call a foul on Michigan. It's going to be a one-on-one for the Quakers. The foul called on Maceo Bastin.
Maceo getting a little bit aggressive there. The freshman wanted to make things happen real quick, turn things around for Michigan, get it down the other end. Cut down into the lead, maybe all the way up down to 2 points. Stuck his hand in there, and Eric Moore is now on the line. He's 8 of 8 tonight,
and they need these two big time. Moore is 8 of 8. Can increase the Quaker lead to 5. First shot is up and rolls in. Eric Moore, 9 of 9, trying to clench his fist that time. And he has 17 points. Another good effort for Eric Moore this season. 56-51, 6:14 to go. And we really have some ball game on our hands.
And everybody wondered whether or not Eric Moore would be able to go up against guys that were taller than him and that probably had some better leaping ability. He has proved to everybody that he is a big-time player, and he showed up for this game.
Moore went to the line 13 times in 4 games. Tonight, sometimes it is 10 for 10, 57-51. Shot by Michigan, no good. Rebound, Eric Moore. And that's a big miss that time as Quakers with a 6-point lead or under 6 minutes to go. Matt Maloney patting himself on the head, indicating a Quaker play. We'll see what they decide to run.
I like to think that he's saying, let's be smart on this one, Adam. You know, let's use our heads, settle the shot clock down a little bit, get it down to around 12 or so, and then we'll make our move. We need a basket here.
5:40 to go in the game, 57-51, as the bounce pass to Sean Trice. It's back to Allen. Allen pulls up, and he's blocked, and he tries to get inside the board by Jackson. Allen with a tough night tonight. Jackson now working on Maloney. Foul will be called on Maloney. It's Jackson. Good play by Maloney that time. Jackson has the easy outlet pass, and he'll go to the line and shoot two.
Yeah, Maloney gave that foul. He had absolutely no intention of trying to get his feet set or anything like that. Ray Jackson's only a mediocre free throw shooter on the season. Ray Jackson, well, not too bad, actually. 79% from the line, so...
Yeah, he's mediocre for you there, Scott.
Well, mediocre for Eric Moore standards, I would think.
Obviously, and through the line goes Jackson with two big free throws right now. Lakers over the limit, of course, with 10 fouls. Matt Maloney got picked up his third personal foul. And it's going for Matt Maloney to foul out. Really started the Quakers off well tonight. Michigan, of course, battled back as Jackson hits the first one and cuts the 10 lead to 57-52 with 5:30 on the nose remaining here in Chrysler.
So Ray Jackson on the line. He's been playing with four fouls since about the 8-minute mark, and he's really smartened up a little bit. We all know he's capable of the great defense. He's moving his feet a little bit better now. It seems like he's settled into this game, as has the rest of the Michigan Wolverines team here. You know, the second half, obviously, and a little bit different story from the first half.
57-52, the Quakers over Michigan make that 57-53, and once again, it's a very tenuous four-point lead. A little bit of full-court press on Darrell Mallett. Bounce pass to Maloney. He elects to hold it up. As Eric Moore has it, being guarded by King. That's an odd matchup right there. As Mitchell is guarding Allen. Gets it to Kegler. Kegler being guarded by Fife inside the stripe. Back to Maloney. Maloney for three from the right side. And yes, Maloney hits it! Oh my! A big three and 18 points for Matt Maloney. 60-53. 5 minutes to go.
Matt Maloney, just a heads up. He had that shot wide open. He made a great look at the basket. And then got it to fall.
Taylor inside, no good. Rebound, Eric Moore. Price just couldn't hold on to it. And Matt Maloney will bring it up. Well, Matt Maloney, you've come through so far tonight. We have 4:45 to go, and Maloney takes it on the right side. Out to Kegler. Open for three from the left side. An open three for Kegler. Doesn't fall. Gets his own board. Good hustle. Blocked, however, by Taylor. And Kegler went up strong. No foul called. Jackson, left side to Mitchell. Not much there. I'll put it up anyway. The layup, no good. Price with the rebound. And Jerome Allen will probably slow it up a little bit. 4:20 to go in the game right now. The Quakers with a 7-point lead, excuse me, at 60-53. Well, Jerome Allen is the team leader in rebounds, but Sean Trice has been the story tonight. 10 rebounds so far for the Quakers, and they mostly have come on the defensive board where the Quakers have really needed him to be effective, and he has. Going into Moore. Moore takes about the shot. Nothing there. There's no charge on Moore as he just pushes over. Oh, tough foul that time. That pushes over Mitchell. That forced fouls on Eric Moore. We'll see what Dunphy wants to do. A little bit clumsy that time, perhaps, by Eric Moore. Not really comfortable with that.
And that's an unfortunate foul for Eric Moore. He just kind of tripped over his own feet as he was getting ready to make his move. He wasn't even intending to shoot on that one. It looked like he was going to, you know, dribble the ball in and then dish it back out to Allen or Maloney, someone outside for a three-pointer. Moore, to this point, 18.6 boards and four fouls. He obviously will have to go to the bench for at least a couple of minutes.
Yeah, Ira Bowman and Tim Krug are going to check into the game right now. Ira Bowman coming in for Moore, and Scott Kegler going to check out of the game.
Interesting the way Dunphy has used the package of Ira Bowman and Tim Krug. It seems when one is in the game, both are in the game. Same situation with Scott Kegler and Eric Moore. I think it's a little bit of a defensive-offensive scheme for the Quakers.
All right, 2-3 zone now for the Quakers. We've seen him mix it up a little bit. Fife has it. Fife in the game. King gives it over to Jackson on the left side, looking inside to Taylor, but gets it to Mitchell instead. Mitchell's going to put up the layup. That's no good. Offensive board, however, for Taylor. And they're going to call a foul following on Sean Trice.
Yeah, good defense there on the outside for the Quakers, but when the rebound went up, Eric Moore not down there, and Sean Trice has to go all by himself. Makes things very difficult for the Quakers underneath. And obviously Michigan will be going to the line.
Well, they actually called a foul inside on Bowman. Bowman kind of getting lost in the middle of all those trees. They're sitting down at the other end of the action. Bowman has four personal fouls. Taylor, the freshman at the line for some big free throws right here. 3:42 left. The first shot is up and no good. Back into the game now. Scott Kegler for Ira Bowman. Bowman coming out with four fouls. And a 7-point lead.
And this, Adam, is a result of the four fouls on Ira Bowman. Eric Moore and Ira Bowman on the bench. This is going to be difficult for the Quakers to play some real strong defense here. They're a little bit slower than they'd like to be right now on the court. We're going to have to see how they match up when Michigan has the ball.
Taylor hits one of two. We're under 4 minutes. Officials timeout. 3:42 left. The Quakers lead it by six. 60-54. Let's head back to the WSBN studios now. You're listening to Penn Basketball on the Penn Sports Radio Network.
Hi, this is Elise Brown. Did you know that WXPN members get a discount on CD purchases at stores throughout the Delaware Valley? That's right. It's one of the many benefits of membership in WXPN. And did you know that you can give an annual membership in WXPN for a holiday gift? It's simple. Just call the toll-free WXPN member line at 1-800-565-WXPN to place your order for holiday gift memberships. Starting at just $40, your gift includes an annual membership and a WXPN coffee mug. For $60, we'll add a copy of the featured album of the week. But hey, the music lovers on your list may just really want that discount on CDs, and who could blame them? Whatever your choice, call the toll-free WXPN member line today. It's 1-800-565-WXPN. Call by December 19th, and we'll enter you and your gift recipient to win the top 50 CDs of 1994. 1-800-565-WXPN. Thanks, and have a very cool Yule from all of us here at 88.5 WXPN.
And welcome back to Chrysler Arena here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Adam Herzog on the side with it. 3:42 to go in this one. The Quakers have the ball and are up by six. And boy, I tell you, Scott, the Quakers just don't, you know, seem to entertain you, really. I mean, they play these teams. They've been leading all game. They came out so strong. And we'll see how they finish up here in a very hostile Big Ten environment. In these cold, these frozen tundra, if you will, of Ann Arbor, Michigan. It's a good thing they play basketball indoors, Adam. Because outdoors, yeah, there would be all sorts of problems for the Quakers and for Michigan on the ice and snow that surrounds the stadium. Well, the Quakers beat a little bit of a press. 3:30 to go now, and the shot clock is 20 seconds for Matt Maloney, Jerome Allen, and his team to make something happen. Krug in the game for Moore. Of course, Moore has four personal fouls. Maloney, nice move on the baseline. Tries to swing it out to Allen. Maybe should have gone up with the shot. He doesn't. It's blocked. And Michigan comes down with it. We're approaching the three-minute mark here. Eric Moore getting set the second to the game. Taylor with a wide-open shot. It goes, and he beats Tim through. And the Quakers now, the lead is down to four again at 60-56. 2:59 to go. Quakers have got to settle down again. They need a big shot here. They got lost on defense there. Tough shift for the Quakers on defense. Eric Moore waiting to check in. He has four personals, but they need him on both ends of the court. And the Quakers sensing a little bit of urgency here with 2:51 to go.
Smartly call timeout.
Yeah, Fran Duffy calls timeout. We'll keep it right here. 2:51 left. The Quakers with a very tenuous four-point lead. And Michigan, you know, they haven't shot the ball well, but the Quakers in the second half really fell off a little bit. But from three-point land, really, the Quakers have been strong.
The Quakers 9-for-21 from three-point land, 43%. Michigan, on the other hand, 2-for-14. And we talked about this at the top of the half, Adam. Michigan was 1-for-11 in the first half from three-point land. That's just less than 10%. It's, you know, it's just all about 9% from three-point land. And they really have curtailed their three-point shots here in the second half. And that's been the difference for them, being able to get those good looks from inside. If it should come down to three-pointers, they may have a little bit of difficulty down the stretch.
Well, it's a four-point lead. The lead was 121 early in the first half. About 10 minutes left, Michigan has come crawling back. They've used some inside play. We'll see if they go to those big guys down low. Taylor, who had a wide-open shot. Bastion, of course, down low. We'll see who they go to those guys. King and Jackson really have not been factors tonight. And neither is as Jerome Allen. You figure these guys would really, not to say they haven't stepped up, but you figure they'd be much more of a factor than what they are right now.
I think it's a true side of a coaching battle here, Adam, that the players that usually come up big have not been factored to this point. Jackson, 6 points. King, 8 points for Michigan right now, and the other men are taking care of it, the freshmen for the most part.
And they average 16 or 15. So maybe the Fab Five, coming through, of course, the first Fab Five with Weber and company, we won't reel them all off now, accounted for 67% of the team's points and rebounds this year. It's down a little bit with this new Fab Five in there, with about 43-44% for each. Tonight they've been doing the job, though. This may be something, a sign of things to come for the Michigan Wolverines and their new recruits. We've gotten some outstanding players, of course, the Quakers going without the scholarship players and giving these top recruits in the country their money's worth. Clearly, they're up by four. 2:51 left. Quakers with the ball after the timeout. Jerome Allen going to take it inbound, looking for someone. Maloney trying to shit off. And a turnover as Michigan comes up with it. Allen trying to get into Maloney, who's pissed. And Michigan comes down with it. They can cut it to two or even one. Mitchell has it now. 2:30. 5 and counting. 22 seconds on the shot clock. A near turnover by Michigan. They get it back. Taylor doing double teamed and he throws it over. And Stonecrest has it. He actually had Allen on the lane on the left side, but wisely elected to hold it up. Oh, those are two big turnovers right there for each team. As Jerome Allen has it, being guarded by Jackson now. This is some more. Back to Allen. 2:15. Eric Moore looking for someone to give it to. No one really there. He's going to need help. Finds it in Maloney. Michigan defense really been picked up in the second half. 10 seconds on the shot clock now. 2:05 in the game. And Maloney may have to take the sets up from three. Block! No good. Fight comes down to Taylor with the block. And Spice will take it up. 150 and counting. Jackson on the right side. Looking inside. That's where they've had the advantage. It's to Mitchell. Mitchell over twice. That's no good. Taylor with the board. That's no good. The layup doesn't go. A tough break for Michigan. And Allen takes it up. 140 to go. You on drama. Penn Michigan. Here we are. 60-56. 135. The shot clock 22 seconds. They have to work with. Sean Trice coming up huge on two Penn defenses right there. A rebound and a steal. He's in his home court right now. Well, not his home court, but he's in front of his home fans. And he's really come up big. He's got 11 boards so far tonight. Penn on the shot clock. 9 seconds. Allen has it. 7 seconds. 6 seconds. 5 seconds. 4 on the shot clock. 3, 2. Maloney for 3 from the right side. No good. In and out. And the ball will go out of bounds on Jackson. Quick the ball. A huge call. Perhaps he was thrown out of bounds. What Jackson did was he tried to throw it off of Eric Moore. Hit the baseline. He was out of bounds. He may have been pushed out. No call. Quaker ball, a fresh 35 with 1:09 left. The Quakers with a 4-point lead. Folks, they are hanging on by their nails right now. Not much there. Quakers are scrambling, but they have the lead right now, and they have the ball with a fresh 35. 1:09 to go. Timeout, Steve Fisher and company. Matt Maloney had a chance maybe to ice it there if he would have knocked down the 3-point. It was a very difficult shot. He had a man in his face. But credit Eric Moore underneath making that rebound very difficult for Ray Jackson. The ball was tipped around a number of times. Ray Jackson smartly tried to throw it off to Eric Moore. But as he did, his foot came down on the end line. And Penn will retain the ball and can really work with the game clock at this point. But what the Quakers need now, and I know this is obvious, but a basket right now. They can't. It sounds so obvious, but they've been struggling offensively here for the past 10 minutes of this game, and they just need something to fall. You can see him scrambling on the perimeter, throwing up some shots. Michigan making them take it down to that 10-second mark, that 5-second mark. They need something to happen. Whether it's an easy play, whether you have Jerome Allen drive the lane and kick it out, Matt Maloney missed the three there, but he had to put it up. This game has been absolutely phenomenal, and Michigan has been so resilient.
And obviously, you got to start to think that Dunphy's going to have his best foul shooters on the court at this point. Interesting situation there. Michigan only has committed 7 fouls, so as long as they get the Quakers before they're up and shooting, it's going to be a one-on-one situation for the Quakers. It's going to be very, very important for the Quakers, who have had their trouble in the past shooting foul shots, to continue shooting well as they have thus far tonight.
And the horn sounds, the players are coming back onto the court. Michigan in the huddle, of course, going with that. We saw so much in the NCAA tournament that look where they take all the benches, the little benches, those mini little things, put them out in the middle of the court, so to speak. And right now they're taking away the benches. The Quakers with a finger in the air. Sam Dunphy getting his proof. Relax, we'll set the lineup for you in a second.
Can you talk about the benches there in the middle of the court? It's an interesting thing for the Michigan team to do. It kind of gets them away from the first row of fans and whatnot. Help them concentrate on everything that Steve Fisher says.
For the Quakers, it's the starting lineup. Allen, Maloney, Price, Kegler, and Moore. Inbound pass goes to Eric Moore. Eric Moore, not much there, being guarded by Taylor. Looking for an outlet, and they're going to call a walk on Eric Moore. They said he dragged his pivot foot. That's a very tough call on Eric Moore and the Quakers. 1:03 left.
Yeah, you wonder what the ref is thinking there. Eric Moore, it looked like he wasn't going anywhere. Said he slid his pivot foot just a little bit, and now Michigan has the ball and a chance to cut into the lead.
Paying for three, and they're going to call a foul on the play on Jerome Allen, and Jimmy King will get 3 free throws. That is a killer foul for the Pennsylvania Quakers with 65.5 seconds left in the game.
Jerome Allen committing that foul. Oh, he would love to have that play back. He couldn't get around the screen there and had a difficult time catching up to King. King's 2-for-4 from the free throw line today. He's only a 63% foul shooter. He's the person I was thinking of when Ray Jackson last went to the line.
But he's got a chance to really shine right now.
Well, King is a 63% free throw shooter. Not stellar by any means, but he'll have 3 goes at it to cut the lead to 1 point. The first shot is up and rolls in after hitting each end of the basket. That's good. 60-57 now. A three-pointer is all it'll take now for Michigan. There's two more chances, as you mentioned, Adam. This game is cut down to at least or at most one possession if they can't hit the three. And the second shot is up, rolls in. It's now a two-point game, and this is the closest Michigan has been all evening. And if you're going to do it, you're going to do it with 55 seconds left and continue to cut the lead. Oh, is that a tough foul for Jerome Allen? You hate to have that one come back to haunt you, but two of the three shots have gone in. The third one is up and no good. So it's a two-point game, 53 seconds left. Scott Kegler with the ball, and he loses it. Scott Kegler loses the ball, coming up with an official, puts up the shot, no good. The rebound, with 40 seconds left to fight, and Fight nearly loses it himself, throws it to Taylor, and this is where Michigan will set up. 37 seconds left, timeout Michigan in this one. And two tough plays by the Pennsylvania Quakers. Michigan can either win it or tie it up right now, 35.9 seconds left. You're Steve Fisher, what do you do?
And of course, you're on your home court, you play for the tie, but I'll tell you what, the way this game has gone, the playbook was absolutely out the window. You kind of got to think that they're going to go down low. That's where they've been effective all game. From 3 points at them to 2-for-14 on the game, they just have had a very, very difficult night. And you've got to expect them to go down low. The Quakers will get the ball back here and have one last chance, but you'd like to see them stop it right now.
Well, they'll have 28 seconds to work with. 36 seconds pretty much on the shot clock. And now let's take a little bit of a break now. We'll send it back to the rest of the state. You're listening to Penn Basketball and the Penn Sports Radio Network.
Quaker Basketball on WXPN is brought to you in part by Abner's Cheesesteaks, located adjacent to the Penn campus at 3813 Chestnut Street. For more information, the number is 662-0100.
Welcome back to a well-rejuvenated Quaker Arena right here. There's been popping up and down the entire second half, and the lead for Penn is now 2. Michigan has never led in this game. The only time this game was tied was at tip-off, and the Michigan Wolverines control their own fate right now here with 35.9 seconds left, 28 seconds to work with on the clock. Once again, the foul situation, Penn is over 10, Michigan 7. And there you have it, Jackson, remember, with 14 fouls. There's more with 14 fouls. And Michigan will get the ball out of bounds. And, of course, five seniors on the court here for the Quakers. These are guys that know how to play. They've been in this sort of situation before. And let's see if the experience pans out for them here with 35 seconds. Now, look for them to go down low. King trying to get the inbound pass, but Fife gets it all the way at the point. Fife dribbling to the left side, being guarded by Matt Maloney. To Mitchell. Mitchell has it on the right side. 30 seconds in the game. Jackson has it. Left side, almost a clear out for Jackson right now. Not much there. 15 seconds on the shot clock. 22 seconds on the game clock. King has it. They're looking to clear it out for King. King and Allen. It's been a matchup all night. King takes it and hits it. We have a tie game with 15.5 left. And the Quakers will call timeout. What a move by King. And he now has 12 points on the evening. Well, now, Adam, I send it to you. It's good, Fran Dunphy. 15.3 seconds is absolutely plenty of time to get the ball in the hoop. Who do you go to? Well, if you put the onus on me, well, let's set the timeout to 10 has one more. Michigan has no more timeouts. They can't stop the clock. The clock, of course, the Quakers make the basket. It stops underneath the basket. After the made basket, and then, of course, Michigan can't call a timeout. Quakers with one left. 15.3 seconds left. And, Scott, I've been deferring your question for a while. You got to go Jerome Allen.
Really?
Free up Allen. You've got to free up either of the guards to take that shot. Inside, I don't think it's going to happen. They've been swatted away inside all second half. They're going to have to hit a perimeter shot, and that's going to be the key in this game. And so what was once a 21-point lead has dwindled, and we have a tie game 60.
I don't know. I like your loyalty there to Jerome Allen. He's really struggling tonight, and the Michigan defense, I think, is going to be looking for Jerome Allen to take the last shot in much the same fashion as the Penn defense knew that Jimmy King would be the man for Michigan on that last play. I got to tell you, I think I would like to see Jerome Allen drive the lane and maybe dish out for a short little 10-footer, Matt Maloney, even Eric Moore, just get it into somebody's hand who has an open shot after drawing a double team.
So the Quakers will set it up. As the horn sounds, the player's about to get set to check back onto the court. And for the Quakers, I mean, really, they control their own destiny. We mentioned that Michigan did it before. It wasn't surprising that they went for the two-pointer with all the trouble they've been having and with the momentum that they would potentially have going into the overtime. The Quakers, with the men that they have in foul trouble, Eric Moore and Ira Bowman, both with four, would like to end this in the next 15.3 seconds. Well, your Quakers for you, John Trice, Matt Maloney, Scott Kegler, Eric Moore, and Jerome Allen. The fans are on their feet in a hostile arena right now, a Big Ten arena. The Quakers have had some home cooking in the last couple of games, and now they are down. Well, they're down to their last 14 seconds of this game. They want to give it to Allen. 10 seconds on the clock. 9 seconds. Allen has a drive left. Looking to make a move on King. Allen puts up the lead. It's good! It's good! 4.4 left. The Quakers lead by 2. 4. 3 seconds. 2 seconds. Fight. 1. And the shot is up. And no good! The Quakers win it! Oh, my. The Penn Quakers. Did I call it? Jerome Allen has done it. He struggled all game. He came through right there. The Quakers have upset the Michigan Wolverines 62-60. What a game for the Penn program for this game. And the Quakers go to 4-1. But look out. They beat Michigan at Michigan. You did call it, Adam. In the lane, Jerome Allen with the running one-hander. Gets it to go. And I'll tell you what. When this game ended, Jerome Allen didn't go to the team huddle. He went right to the camera. Dick Vitale said it at halftime. He said, Jerome Allen is a PPP-er, baby. And you saw it right there as he went to the camera and said, you know what? We're a primetime team, and I'm not the only one on this team that makes things happen. Scott Kegler, Matt Maloney, Eric Moore all deserve incredible amounts of credit for this victory.
One of the grittiest games you will see here in college basketball. The Quakers come out on fire. They jump to that 21-point lead, and slowly the Michigan Wolverines come back from good inside play. They get a couple key outside shots by Fike, and all of a sudden, a couple of turnovers by the Quakers, a couple of swats. This game's tied at 60. Jerome Allen has the ball, dribbles left, and hits the floater in the lane. I'll tell you something, this is a big win for the Quakers as they lost their first game in the Future NIT. That, my friends, and everybody in Philadelphia listening, that is a past history memory right now. The Quakers have exercised kinesis.
Michigan, of course, the fans very upset. The team falls to 4-4. A very tough loss for them to take. Maybe the fans underestimated the Quakers. You can bet that Steve Fisher did not underestimate the Quakers, and he got everything he expected from them. The Quakers operated about as well as they possibly could have, you know, in terms of offense. They really made things happen. It's going to be a fun plane ride back for this Penn team to campus.
All right, let's now send it back to the WFGN studios. It's been a dramatic victory for the Penn Quakers. Allen hits the floater. 62-60 is your final from Ann Arbor. Let's send it back now to Andrew Montfrey. You're listening to Penn Basketball on the Penn Sports Radio Network.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Penn with an emotional 62-60 win over Michigan, but other things going on in the sporting world tonight. First off, the Sixers at the Spectrum. We have Miami right now, 82-64, that game in the fourth quarter. Other games in the NBA, Charlotte 77, Milwaukee 76, just starting the fourth quarter. Also starting the fourth, it's Minnesota 61, Atlanta 53. Indiana leads Cleveland 67-66. At the half, the Lakers over Dallas 58-56. In the second, Chicago leads Detroit 29-17. And Houston, a second quarter lead over the Bullets 30-19. A little later on, it'll be Sacramento visiting Golden State. Top 25 college basketball, the 19th-ranked Ohio University Bobcats over Wright State tonight 90-56. One other game, the 11th-ranked Minnesota Gophers are just underway with Cincinnati. That game just underway. Also, one score from the Ivy League. It was Harvard 58, Dartmouth 55. Now I'll send you back to the Chrysler Arena to Adam Herzog. I'm Scott Whitman.
Chrysler Arena in Ann Arbor, Michigan. We've had about a minute or two to sort of relax on this kind of... Let it soak in. The Quakers have upset the 25th-ranked Michigan Wolverines. 2-0 against the Big Ten. Not so bad. I guess put the Quakers up with any conference.
Yeah, it really looks good for the Quakers. This is just a huge win for the program. Obviously, they have some more big-time games down the road. UMass looms on the horizon, and St. John's is always a potential opponent in the ECAC tournament. But the Quakers are not going to be thinking about that right now. They're going to be thinking about this huge victory over Michigan and what that does for the respect that this program gets.
Teams go through development stages. This team has been together now 4 years. Maloney, well, with pretty much 3 years. You go through moments like this. You go through tough losses. You go through good moments.
This is one of the great moments here, one of the great games that Penn has played. It's a sad one. I know right now the Penn campus is completely up in arms right now, and this is a game this school has looked to. Michigan, they may have been a little laid back. Penn was definitely the underdog for them, but for the people on the Penn campus, you've got to feel happy for them. The program, and really Fran Dunphy, it's been a fabulous effort tonight, jumping out to that lead and holding on, barely, but holding on for the victory.
And the most incredible thing, Adam, it was interesting, we were listening to the band play early in the game, myself.